Art radio station. Someone's gonna get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The monsters in the morning. The monsters in the morning. Monsters in the morning.
Why, yes it is. Hey, you wanted the best? You got the best, the hottest talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. A great way to hear us is say, Alexa, if you got Alexa, say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll play it. It's pretty cool. All the shows here on Real Radio, and then if you want to hear Monsters Only, you can say, Alexa, play Monsters in the Morning podcast. Man, you can hear shows from 3 days ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago. All that is on now at iHeartRadio. Hey, guys, I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program. And with everyone this morning, we are going to do this until 11 o'clock. There's the gut-ripping champion of Palatka, Florida, Dirty Jeff.
Hello.
The producer's the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera.
Hello.
And to my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
It's out, never stop, baby.
You can text the show, and we'll text you back. Here's the number to text us, 77031. I'm looking at it right now. A lot of people already saying good morning. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. We'll text you back maybe during the break. Sometimes Dirty Jim will get you. Sometimes it'll be Angel, me, Carlos. You never know who's going to text you back. And we'll use what you say on the air sometimes. We appreciate it. You can call us, too. We'll do open phones at 8 o'clock if you want to call us. 407-916-1041 is the phone number, or 1-888-978-1041. We'll also do, we'll talk to you during trivia time as well. Then if you want to email me, and I've got several of those to get to, russ@wtcast.com, and we'll email you back and sometimes read what your, you know, what your question. We'll read it on the air. We got a guy coming in today who's been in before. Jimmy, I don't know if you were here then or not. Did you remember the guy named Stephen Lee Hall that was on Naked and Afraid?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. He's going to come in today because he's featured this week on Shark Week. They did Naked and Afraid Shark Week.
Yeah, that's funny. they're doing shark everything.
Yeah, shark.
They're doing everything from Shaq to Guy Fieri.
Oh, the Shaq thing's funny. Yeah, he's like, I thought this was Shaq Week. It's really funny. So, yeah, he's coming in today.
I think there are two Shaqs. I think there are two Shaqs because there's no way he has that much time to do everything.
Is that meme of him in front of that brand new boat, that giant
yacht? That's real.
That's real?
That's real.
Have you seen this?
I've seen it.
So there's this giant yacht that you imagine a guy like Shaquille would own. I mean, it's probably 100 plus feet long.
He
and it's beautiful.
It, right?
It's sitting at a dock. He's leaning up against one of the pylons with the yacht in the background. And the thing says, what do you think I should call her? And the very first response is, you should call her Free Throw. That way it'll never sink.
Ah, nice. I like that. That's good.
So, and that's making it hit my Facebook feed a couple times. But I didn't know if it was real or not. Who knows anymore, right?
I never know what's real and what's not real. I just go ahead and assume it's all real and have fun with it.
Dude, Joe Kenda, that detective that we watch, Blogging Molly and I love, that they do the shows out of Colorado about murder and stuff, he's like endorsing Shark Week.
Oh,
like,
really?
They throw the net out there and find any celebrity that will be willing to tweet about Shark Week.
Well, Steven sent me a little clip of the show that he's on, and it's like eight of them out there, and they're all naked.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And the only way they can get food is if they go swimming where there are sharks, and they show them out there with the sharks. It looks pretty crazy. So,
how much money do they win?
We'll ask him when he comes in. I really don't know. It's a good question, though.
On Naked and Afraid, not a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't think
they
make a whole lot.
Why are they doing it?
Just to prove to themselves they can do it and give TV giant ratings.
For the IG?
I guess so.
And he got the invite?
And if you can do it, you know, why not? I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
he's in great shape. Why not show off your abs?
I guess if I was ripped, giant wiener, I'd do it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but neither one of those.
Yeah, so I don't get the calls to be on Shark Week.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Oh, I guess now we're in round...
Sorry.
It's the semifinals of the Best Villain Actor of All Time competition. If you vote today, you're eligible to get a $100 Fandango card. You got that. So now we're down to Alan Rickman is taking on Jack Nicholson. And then Robert De Niro is taking on Anthony Hopkins. This is to find out who goes into the finals.
Oh, the big dogs.
So these are the big dogs.
Yeah, I don't think I have anybody in the race anymore. I think all my guys got blown out.
They got blown out?
I think so.
Who was Alan Rickman's?
That's me.
Okay. That's Angel, yeah.
So it's your pick against my pick. I got Jack Nicholson, you got Alan Rickman. And then Robert De Niro, who took him?
That's Los for sure, right?
No, I don't think I took him. That was Moore, I think. Or Jim?
Jim.
Jim, and then who's got Anthony Hopkins? Moore?
Jack. Jack. No, Moira picked cartoons, remember?
Oh, that's right.
She completely didn't understand the show.
All right. Well, we got...
She doesn't get the show.
On the website today, you go to monsters.fm. A little bit later on, we'll give you an opportunity to win those tickets for two to the Big Monster Fan Appreciation Show. So I was out yesterday because over the weekend, I know I talked about this a lot, but I had several months ago, those of you who may have been listening, we had a couple come in. The name was Justin and Lacey. Justin and Lacey came in. They were visiting Orlando because she loves Disney. And while they were here, they got engaged. And
are there two better names to put behind the seats on the window of a pickup truck?
Well, you got Sissy and what was it? Sissy and Bud.
Bud and Sissy.
But yeah, you're right. Justin and Lacey. And
I mean, that screams after school special.
Yeah.
They joined me at Ember, and while they joined me at Ember, we were drinking, having fun, and my wife's talking to you. Nice couple, super nice couple.
Super sweet.
If they're here in town, they'd be our buddies. They're really nice people. So, but I just met them once, and they said, well, if we invite you to our wedding, would you come? And we're like, yeah, sure, we'll come. You know, one of those things where you just answer right away.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea. I've never been to Birmingham, Alabama.
Another patrol.
Yeah. I'll buy you a yacht for a gift.
Sounds good, right? So then, you know, a couple months ago, we get the invitation, my wife and I looked at each other and said, you know, we did promise.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd never been to Birmingham.
Nope.
So what the hell? Let's give it a shot. Let's go to the wedding in Birmingham.
And you drove, right?
We drove. Now, I looked it up and it said it would be 8 hours, but I did not take into account the fact that there's time change.
That's right.
And so that's 9 hours is what it takes to drive to.
And of course, you drive a sensible 61 the entire way.
You know, I go by the rule, Dirty Jim, that a 9 over, you're fine, you know, but if you go 10 over, you're mine or whatever that is, you know, 9 over.
9, you're fine, 10, you're mine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you guys made up that saying. I've never heard anybody else say except you two.
I always go,
traded it back and forth for 30 years.
I'll go exactly 9 miles over, but I won't go past the 9 because I'm afraid I'm getting caught, right?
Oh, whatever.
So you only go 69!
Sometimes I was going 69.
Got him.
And but you know what?
Got him.
The road trip itself was so much fun. If you ever want to get to know someone even better, you know, spend 9 hours in a car with them.
That's the truth.
Listening to music and see what, you know, because, I mean, you would try to find out what kind of music did you listen to when you were younger and all this kind of stuff. And we have the exact same, we love the same kind of music. So it was really cool to, you know, I'm like, she's jamming out to hair metal. I'm like, how do you know Poison by Alice Cooper? How the hell do you know that song? You know, and we're just kind of.
We all went to Mako's, man. Back in the day, they played a little hair. Metal.
And we listened to more metal on the way up than we did country. But once we got into Alabama, I had to turn on, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama.
Sure, yeah.
You got
to
hear that.
You didn't have to.
I had to.
You just had that drawn to you.
Had to roll the window down, Sweet Home Alabama. There's another song, a country song called Paint Me a Birmingham, which right. I had to play over and over again. And I will tell you, okay, so Dirty Jim, have you ever been to Birmingham, Alabama?
I have.
Because you know what to expect. How about you, Carlos? Ever been to Birmingham, Alabama?
I have not.
Angel, you've been around the world. I know you've traveled.
I've driven through Birmingham a number of times.
What did you expect? Well, let me say, what would you say you haven't been? What do you expect to see in Birmingham, Alabama?
Sights and sounds from Forrest Gump.
Sights and sounds from Forrest Gump. Okay. Okay.
So that kind of look like a old towny.
Old towny.
Yeah.
That's what I expected as well. Yeah. I thought it'd be all a little redneck. It's Alabama. I will tell you, I was pleasantly surprised how beautiful and how clean Alabama is.
It's gorgeous.
Birmingham is.
It's just
where I think it's called either 4 points or 5 points. I can't remember how many points there were. I might have been 4 points. Is like Winter Park, but with some older places that are modernized. You know that yeah. Clean, super super. It was so nice there.
I
was so pleasantly surprised about Birmingham, Alabama. And God bless them, man.
Who was the comic that was just in here that was like, you know, what's weird about Birmingham is that the Johnson Space Center, or there's some space.
It was Tony Rock.
Yeah.
Was he dissing or?
No, he was just saying, hey, that's the weird place of the thing about Birmingham in the sense that you've,
Air
you
Force.
Know, you think that it's Alabama, so you instantly go with these stereotypes, but Birmingham is not really that type of town because they have something to do with the space program there. They've got, a really affluent and super smart kind of community there.
It really was.
Until you go to a place, you really don't get understand the place.
And I didn't know what to expect. You know, I thought it would be very backwards, very much like I expected it to be a lot like I saw when I went to Panama City Beach,
But no, 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 no. This was so much
a
nicer.
City.
And it was a city, but it wasn't crowded. Yeah. And so we, you
know, where'd you get the shirt at?
We get there. Oh, I got this at the, there's this place called Vulcan, and it is the world's biggest and largest cast iron statue.
Okay.
And it's a cast iron statue of the god Vulcan or whatever, who's an ugly god, right? And he forges stuff as this deal. And this thing was, I mean, I could show you. We were so far up. I mean, it was so crazy tall, and I got scared. I don't like heights at all. I'm
so
really
go
not.
Up, you go up the statue?
You go up to the top of the statue.
Oh, damn. It's
and,
really big.
And, like,
man.
I'll show you, like, that's
oh, wow.
Hold on. That's at the top of the statue. So you can see, that's Birmingham behind.
It looks like Orlando.
It is smaller than Orlando, you know, but it is it's really a clean, nice. There you go. It's Birmingham, Alabama, right there. Super, super nice. And I'll tell you what we did before that is we went to the nicest zoo I've ever been to. And I'm not a zoo guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, usually zoos, I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever, zoo. This is downtown. This is
four, oh, that's pretty cool, that goat four, thing.
What yeah. is that crazy thing in the middle of that Birmingham? My God.
That looks like some... Jimmy,
it's a goat teaching a bunch of other animals something. I don't
know. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's some Illuminati stuff right there.
Yeah, because I bet that pretty much caused more people in Alabama to go... Well, that's the devil. than any other thing in the history of
I mean,
man.
That's what I thought, too.
It's, I think it's dope, but
that's a goat head wearing a suit teaching a pig and a turtle.
Yeah.
And dogs.
And a frog.
And they're all bowing to him, and he has a staff with an owl on it.
It was weird, but it was very nice. And right across from there was the world's first pancake house. It was the first one. The very first right. one they
Did
opened
you
up.
Eat one?
Oh, yeah.
How was it?
It was awesome. Pancake house. And then across the street from that was the like an old Waffle House that had been yeah. there for a long time. But we went to the Birmingham Zoo. And, you know, I'm not a big zoo guy, you know, but, you know, my wife wanted to go. I'm like, okay, fine. We'll go to the zoo. And it was the nicest zoo.
Why do you say that?
Because when we got there, now, of course, I got there right when it opened up. When we got there, it was cool outside. There weren't that many people there. And we could walk around and just kind of see all the. Oh, look at that. That's a. Remember that story we talked about, the jaguar that mm-hmm. Got loose and killed a bunch of people?
Yeah.
That's their jaguar.
Right. And
they said, you know, they doubled and triple checked the cage after that, yeah. that other story. But that thing, when it looks at you, it looks like it wants to eat you.
Oh, no, it jaguar. Does. It's all it wants to do is kill you.
It's looking at you, and it is frightening.
All
to
it wants to do is kill you.
It just wants to eat you.
Russ, wild animals want to do three things.
Yeah.
That is eat, reproduce, and sleep.
That orangutan right there is a 350-pound orangutan.
Yeah.
And it was looking at me. And when it decides just to pull itself up by its arms on those vines, it just does it like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Imagine the strength it takes
strength
to pull up 350 pounds.
Well, they have like the strength of like four men.
It is
that's something crazy.
Crazy. It was a really, really great zoo that was clean. Everybody
looks nice.
Everybody was nice. You know, you get to feed the elephants. I did slow-mo, just I don't know why. I did slow-mo. You get to throw like a carrot at the elephant, and it'll eat the food or whatever. But it was so nice. But, you know, the morning time, it was a bit of an overcast. And then something happened that happens in Alabama that I did not realize.
Uh-oh.
And it got hot.
Uh-oh.
Now, listen. Oh, there's one of the white rhinos they have. You know, they got rhinos. They got elephants that'll come
right. We only allow white ones here.
There's a giraffe that comes up. You can feed the giraffe. I mean, it was a great, great zoo. But it started to get hot. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm from Orlando, Florida. I'm used to hot. No
yeah.
big deal, you know. Birmingham, Alabama hot. Is so much different than Orlando hot. You know why? Because there's no wind up there.
Yeah, there's no
wind. Oh, by the way, that's the top of the Vulcan I was talking about. I already talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
There's no wind up there. And when it gets hot, I mean, it's super hot. And I'm going to tell you what happened at the wedding when we come back. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Orlando City plays host to New York FC this Thursday. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. From Radio. Radio. 104.1.
And I can't tell that story. Son of a bitch. Welcome back to the Monsters. Mornings on Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. I'll tell you guys in the next break.
That's disgusting.
I know. All
right. Russ literally just told me one of the most disgusting things as we're coming back. And I'm like, that is disgusting. He didn't do it. It was somebody.
Someone else.
Walked up and told him something just utterly disgusting.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys during the break. But went to Birmingham, Alabama this weekend just to kind of wrap it up. I didn't know what to think. Yes.
So it was Christopher Titus that came in because he was getting ready to go up there, or he had just done a show up there. And what we were talking about is the Huntsville Space Center, and that's about an hour north of Birmingham. Our wonderful texters hitting us up at 77031 wanted us to make sure that we were factually correct with your story.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I did not see anything about the space. Also, somebody on the texting service said, you don't know those things about your woman? Listen, I know we did this road trip. By the way, a road trip for me was so much fun. I purposely went the longest way I could because I wanted to go through the small little towns, and it took us, you know, like maybe 45 minutes longer to go the way that we went. But I enjoy that. I like looking and seeing everything. It just was fun. And I know generally the kind of music that my wife likes, but when you're driving and something like Ronnie James Dio comes on, okay, you're not gonna
Rainbow in the Dark.
You're not gonna Rainbow in the Dark, and she knows every word. I'm like, how the hell? Like those little intricate things, and I'm like, man, I had no idea. You know, everywhere.
You guys are still newlyweds.
Yeah. Yeah. People on the texting service.
You should know everything about it, bro. You should know every single line.
Yeah.
You should know everything.
Every word to a Hank Williams song, not Hank Williams Jr., Hank Williams Sr., mm-hmm. and then every word to every metal song we listen on the way up. Road trips are fun, and what I loved about the road trip was the small little small little cities. cities and towns mm-hmm. going through, and to see some of the people, man, that were just sitting there on their front porch and just sitting there.
Just hanging out.
Just
relaxing,
just
man.
Looking bored, man.
Really?
I
couldn't live like that, man.
I've taken those scenic routes where you go in some back towns and you see some people just sitting there and it's hot.
Oh.
And you're just like, man, look, I'm sure a lot of them have nice lives, whatever it may be, but it looks hot.
Hot in Birmingham, Alabama is different than hot in Orlando.
And just location-wise, I'm sure there was. I mean, we're lucky we live in Orlando. There's a bunch of stuff everywhere. You got to go pretty, at least 20 miles out of the city to be located where you're not near a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, now, it's rural.
Jimmy, this may appeal to you. I know you watch all those shows and you're into the restaurants and stuff like that with Primetime Kitchen. So the day of the wedding, we had time to kill. I got up very early, as always, and we went to the zoo, which was a lot of fun, and we were told that we should go to a barbecue restaurant that was like nationally famous in Birmingham, Alabama, called Saul. Have you ever heard of Saul?
I have not.
And I guess the story behind it, the guy was there that owned it, and it's been on the Food Network, been on all those channels, and it's gotten all kinds of awards. The reason it's called Saul is because this guy's dad told him that he was a sorry ass worker and he'd never amount to anything. And so he named it Saul Restaurant. And it says in there, my dad told me I was a sorry ass worker and I never amount to anything. And you go into this restaurant, barbecue restaurant, and it's packed.
Yeah.
And it's jammed. And he's just rubbing it into his father every day by the name of the restaurant called Saul.
I think that's great.
That's funny.
And it's nationally known.
Yeah.
And so we go there and,
except by us.
Food was great, but it was once again, theme being it was hot.
Yeah.
I also when I went there, ran into something I hadn't seen in a long time, and that was
saw that. What is that?
Do you know what goes in that can?
I think it's chips.
Yes, chips.
Well, that's wild that you had to. That it was a guess. It's just so weird for people that are Russ and I's age. I mean, you're about 10 years younger than us or something like that.
Yeah, I'm 37.
Yeah. So even more, 13. For us, like you see, you couldn't even write anything. Just that color and that speckled brown and yellow, I'd know immediately.
Wow, and it just says Charles. It doesn't say anything about chips inside, you know? Because they used to put cookies in there, too.
Yeah.
But how much do you think they wanted for that 10 of Charlie chips?
Yeah, but it's just the 10, of
just
course,
the 10,
right?
Because it's considered now an antique, I guess.
Oh, man. And you'd keep the 10, and they would come back and refill your chips.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Almost like the milkman coming every day, but you'd give them the 10, and they'd give you back chips.
Man, I don't know how many people really consider that valuable.
Jimmy, if you watch...
Interesting question.
If you watch American Pickers,
mm-hmm.
and they always go out to little rural areas like
and they
this
find
and
these
look
things?
Like the for this kind of stuff, and there's some guy out there that's willing to pay a solid $35 for that.
You say 35?
35.
That's actually not a bad guess. I probably wasn't even going to go that high. I would have probably gone 25.
They wanted $55 for that.
Wow. And that's why it still sits there.
And the reason I know is I picked it up and I started to walk to the counter, and Mary Ellen's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "This is only like $25. She goes, No. Look again." And it was $55. I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Our program has driven the price up on those kind of tins then.
Yep.
So that was there. And then we had that Saw restaurant I was telling you about.
Was it good?
It was very good.
What'd you have?
I ordered the pulled pork sandwich, but by accident, they brought me a chicken dinner, and I didn't want to bother the guy because he was sweating, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll get you another one, don't worry."
His dad was right.
And I'm like, "Nope, that's okay. I'll just have the chicken," and the chicken had some sort of white sauce on it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, good.
It was super, super good.
Awesome.
So then after that, we tried to find like a little bar to hang out in, and I'm like, "You know what, let's just go back and rest and get ready for the wedding."
Let me ask you a quick question before we get to the wedding stuff, because I don't want to blow that too. When you were going out, does Birmingham shut down early? I know that you're not a late night guy. Did you notice or notice any of the hours?
What's that phrase, rolling up the sidewalks?
Yeah, because I know that it's in some of those cities. I mean, man, it's 9:30. And everybody's like, "All right, time to go to bed." Even the bar owners.
Jimmy, I found it hard to find a bar that had alcohol other than
beer, and
beer and wine. You know, so I couldn't really tell you because we didn't go out.
No worries.
Yeah, we didn't go out Friday night because we got in so late, and I asked, but I couldn't find it, so I couldn't really answer that question. It's that time we got to go to the wedding, and I didn't realize I was going to Uber to the wedding. But and then I look at the map. I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm like 40 minutes away. I can't Uber for 40 minutes." And it's up in the mountains. It's called Bear Mountain, and it was Blueberry Farms. And I'm like, "Okay, you know, whatever. Okay, sounds nice." Not knowing what to expect, you know. And then Justin sends me a little message.
That's the groom, right?
Yeah, the groom. He's like, "I'm so excited you're here. I cannot believe you actually drove here. Oh my god, I'm so excited." He's like, "Listen,
canceled it last week."
I know. He's like, "I don't want you to expect very much now because this is like a backyard wedding. I don't want you to expect very much. If you want to bring, you know," he's like, "if you want to bring some, shots, or whatever you want to bring, you know, you're welcome to bring it. We'll have beer and wine." And I'm like, "No problem, man. We're looking forward to it." So we drive up into the mountains to go to this place, and it was absolutely gorgeous.
I bet.
It's up in the mountains, and it was, I can't even explain how pretty it was. Now, when we get there, there's a tent there.
Beautiful.
Now, you know me, I love tents. Yeah. And I'm like,
did you go around breaking down their tent assembly?
Oh, I walked around. I'm like, "Ooh, this is a 30 by 30 double."
Don't put this up.
Double apex tent. They staked it really well. And Marion's looking at me like, "Are you really judging their tent?" I'm like, "But no, this is a really good tent. They did a really good job with this."
They really did it well.
And it was in the middle of the mountains, and it was so old and rustic looking, you know, very, very cool. Like, Jimmy, here's a barn with a couple of old
perfect
for pictures.
Wow, look at that thing. What's that old? That's an old Chevrolet truck in there.
I think it's old Chevrolet truck. Yeah, you know who noticed it was Bill Murphy on Facebook. He's like, "That's a Chevy."
Look at it. It's kind of weird because it's just showing you the grill. It looks like a character.
Yeah,
and the headlights are eyes. Look at that.
Yeah,
looks like a mad old
like
owl.
Cars.
Yeah,
the whole place was like something you would see, you know, on television or in a movie or something like that. They had about 150 people that were there.
That's a lot
now,
of people.
I will say this. The only thing I can say is, I was not prepared for this kind of heat. I could feel the sweat
just
dripping
rolling
from my back down into my butt crack. I'm like, "Oh." But
I think Russ paid himself.
Other than
way
that,
too much info.
It was a beautiful
location.
So beautiful out there. And so they get to the part where they're doing the wedding, right?
She looks beautiful as well.
Yeah, Justin and Lacey, they were so happy. And he comes up to me beforehand. He goes, "Russ, I want you to know now, don't bust my balls, but I might cry, you know, because I'm really happy." I said, "Dude, I'm the last one that's going to bust your balls.
Hell,
I'm a crier too."
Justin, you invited the right guy.
Yeah, I'm already crying.
So they do the wedding. I swear to God, guys, it was really cool. So they're doing the whole thing. And
you started bawling instantly.
No. it comes to the end. Right, and there's 150, 200 guests there. Justin and Lacey turn around, and the minister who really did a great job. He had this one quote about, you know, "If I had a flower for every time I thought about you, I could walk through my gardens forever." You know, like all these very
Russ, you crushed it on the first time.
All these very romantic things. Justin and Lacey turn around, and the minister said, "Ladies and gentlemen, You wanted the best. You got the best.
Oh,
Justin and Lacey Phillips.
My God.
And he looks over at me and winks. And they wrote that into their thing because he's such a huge fan.
That actually works really well in that moment.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. That's
I got to give him props.
Yeah, that actually worked really well in that moment. I've never heard that in the hundreds of weddings I've attended and worked at.
When I saw him afterwards, because you hear what I said? You hear what I said? I thought, I got it, man. I said, that is awesome. Because I love the show. I said, that's cool. I said,
hell yeah. Thanks.
Job,
it was super cool. There's a photo of us with the barn in the background.
Hell
and then
yeah.
There's like supposed to be the rock and roll cool one.
That's fantastic, man.
But
I'm glad you went. I'm glad you're able to experience that.
Now my idea was going to be we were going to go around and pretend like it was our reception.
Yeah, did you do anything like that?
We took one picture in front of the cake.
Yeah, you need somebody else to take it for you.
But, you know, it didn't feel proper while we were there.
Nobody would have known.
I know, but people did know me there.
Said a Kiss lyric.
Yeah.
During the wedding.
Yeah. They would have loved it.
I think they would have been cool with it.
Yeah.
Russ has an obsession with flipping over the camera on the opposite side and taking a weird selfie.
No, I'm telling you. That one was the right way. I did it really fast because I didn't want them to catch because they were doing the first dance.
You don't do it during the first dance.
I know. But,
jeez. Just ruined your story.
This guy out of here.
You do it later on when everybody's eating. And...
Oh, I thought I'd do it during the first dance when nobody was paying attention.
No,
you're
supposed to watch the first dance and look in love. That's looking right, and go, aw.
You're not supposed to boot scoot.
Yeah.
it was so nice. But I got to tell you, man, Alabama hot is different than Florida
man,
hot.
I just think, but the Alabama people come here and they're like, Florida hot is different than Alabama. I think it's just... I know I would go over there and feel the same way. I'm not saying, but
there's no wind up in the mountains like that for some reason.
It is a little different. I went to Jackson, Mississippi. My wife and I were just talking about this recently when my grandfather passed many years ago. We went to Jackson, Mississippi because we were talking about how hot it was. And we got into one of those conversations. And I said, you know, still the hottest I've ever been in my entire life. I don't care where, what, whatever, is Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
That night after we had put my grandfather to rest. We were going to go out and get some food. It was late. It was like 9:45, 10 o'clock, but we were going to go to this little bar that had that served food. Walked out of my room at 10:15 at night to go to this bar, and it was 91 degrees, and the 80-foot walk to my car, I could have wrung my shirt out. Yeah. It is a different humidity level than you are ever used to. No wind. The heat just sits on you.
Yeah.
Like an old gray gorilla.
I've lived in Orlando my entire life. I believe, and maybe because I just lived it, I don't know, I think that's the hottest I've ever been.
Oh, wow.
We're sitting there.
Stagnant, wet.
Oh, it was so hot. But
it's jungle kind of hot. It's weird, man.
Because remember, we live on a peninsula, so we're usually getting a little bit of a breeze.
Okay. And I get it. I understand the difference.
Alabama, Georgia, they don't get any wind.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, I had a bad stereotype about Alabama driving there, and I left knowing it's a beautiful, beautiful state with, really nice people. Like, everybody we encountered were super nice.
You can live large up there, too, if you want to. Make a little money somewhere else and go out there. You can buy 3 or 4 acres of land and one of the most some of the most beautiful little hills out there and go in the middle of it and build a house for nothing.
Actually, that's what I wanted to talk about when we come back. The concept of old money, and I'll tell you that concept what we talked about when we come back. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Well, Ronnie James Dio. Welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Another 20 minutes, your chance to win tickets to our Monster Fan Appreciation Show, which is coming up very soon on August the 4th at Universal Studios Orlando. So keep listening, you'll be able to win those. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Telling about my trip to Birmingham, Alabama. I was pleasantly surprised, and I will say this. We decided on the way back that, I'm not saying every single one, but if invited again to some wedding, to some place I've never been before, I would do that again. It was overall a really great experience and a hell of a lot of fun. And I got to see, I never would have gone to Birmingham, Alabama if I hadn't had that invitation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely do that again.
Let me ask you a quick question about driving home.
Yes, it was so much fun. Yeah.
Okay. So I've had an idea about driving out of the state of Florida when you come back. So you guys were coming from that side. So you came down 75, I assume?
There were three different ways that that it told us that we could go. And 75 is it. And then there was another one where it goes over to Atlanta and down.
Yeah, yeah. 95, 75, pretty much. Those are the two big routes out of Florida, right?
Yeah.
So most people go like 75 because it's that side, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's weird. It's like time stops at Lake City. It's weird when you come where you're coming home from anywhere, Atlanta, where we're Mississippi, whatever, when New Orleans, it's weird. You think you're almost there, and then you hit Lake City and realize you have three more hours or three and a half more hours to get home, and it just pisses you off to no end because you're like, man, I made it to Florida. Orlando's just right there.
Right.
And then you realize, no, really, it's not. It's not right there at all. Actually, you're still 3.5 hours away from home, and it's seemingly an endless 3 hours. It's like that first 5 hours hauls ass. But from Lake City to Florida, there's a time warp, and I cannot explain it.
I would agree. Yeah, it did seem a bit longer. I tell you something else I noticed was going up through the... I went the longest way I could so I could go through the small cities and towns and stuff. And a lot of stuff was closed, man. But the things that had a lot of people around them would be Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A's were packed. Burger King and McDonald's. But other than that, every other place, you know, like these Sunny Barbecue places were closed. There was a boy. I tell you what, I saw a lot up there. A lot of billboards for John Morgan.
Oh,
John,
really?
Oh, John Morgan's all over Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, yeah. Saw a lot of those. Let's see here. What else? Publix is up there, which I didn't realize.
Of course, yeah.
I didn't know Publix was in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either.
Southeast,
and so, you know, I told you we went to this place called, it's called Vulcan, the Vulcan, and it's just, it's the world's largest cast iron statue. And they just put it up recently. I thought, oh, maybe this is going to be old, like back in the 1800s. Nah, it went up in 2008 or 4 or something like that. And it's just, you know, tourist attraction.
They were celebrating the financial collapse of the country.
It's beautiful, though. It's a cool statue. And I'm talking to some people there, and you can see these big, beautiful mansions on the side of the hills. And I'm talking to a guy, and he goes, oh, yeah, that guy. I said, what's that guy doing? He goes, that's old money. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? Well, you know, his parents passed it down from his parents, from his parents, from his parents. And that over there, that's old money over there. And that's old money over there. And I'm like, and the concept of old money is something that, you know, I don't know anybody in my life. I've lived in Orlando, Florida for 53 years. I don't know many people that come from old money. But up there, it is this guy was telling me it's common. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that just come from old money. A lot of people at the wedding, they got that old money.
It's an older states, man. You go to those old states and they got some old ass money, and you see it. You can visually see it.
So that's the concept of your parents. Had a lot of money, and they pass it on to you.
We call it Winter Park.
Yeah.
Do you know people that have old money?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are people in Winter Park where that money's been. Well, you know as well. I mean, didn't your family know the Dimitris?
Yes.
Didn't your sister date a Dimitri back in the day?
Yes, yes, yes. So that's old money?
I mean, that's old money. I mean, the Hughes family, you know, the families that built the city of Orlando, that's old money. And there are a number of those, man. But, you know, the Nouveau Riche money, that's Isle Wharf Lake Nona money.
Yeah.
Theoretically, you know, that's that money that built. But the old money that built Orlando is still like Winter Park, around the chain of lakes in Winter Park. That's the money that's been there a long, long time.
Yeah, drive through there. Yeah,
as many old money as you want.
those houses aren't the ones that are being renovated.
Huh.
Yeah, those are better for me. And those families, if you said the family's names, you would kind of know it. You know, especially if you knew the contractors, like the electrical companies, the building companies, the paving companies, the people who have built a lot of the infrastructure of the city. They live here, you know.
Yeah. At the wedding, there were some people that were, you know, they are nice and dressed up, and they look like your stereotypical, what you would imagine old money in the South would look like. And it was almost like they were doing
like Colonel Sanders. Everybody look like Colonel Sanders?
Not Colonel Sanders as much, but let's see if I can find one of the guys. I can't say. But yeah, it's kind of that look. You know, the guy he wore a hat. He had on his nice pants, but no socks on, and just look cool. And then you had other people that were, they knew it was going to be hot, so they wore shorts and sandals. And,
yeah. Relatively informal.
I would say it was somewhat informal, but really nice, you know, all the way around, really nice wedding. And Justin, once again, I want to thank Justin and Lacey for inviting us.
Sure.
It was a great experience. I would do it again for sure. And I'm trying to think of what other little cities I've never been to that would be fun to go to. Like, I would never have picked Birmingham.
That's not necessarily a little city. I would say that's like a medium-sized city. And you got to remember, in the South, you know, I think Montgomery's a nice city in Alabama. You can go to Mobile.
Okay, then when you think of Montgomery, because we talked about stopping by Montgomery. When you think of Montgomery, Alabama, what's the only thing you think of?
God, I can't.
The only thing I know of is there's a museum there for Hank Williams.
Oh, is there really? And I would have thought it would be something in the Civil War.
And that's where Hank Williams was buried, and there's a big museum there, and that's the only thing we could find in Montgomery, Alabama. But there might be more things, but I couldn't find anything else.
Yeah, you know, the thing is with those states, you know, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, you know, states like that, you know, really you're going there to not have the stuff you have in Orlando and cities like that, you know, where everybody's kind of on top of each other. It's kind of a metropolitan kind of city. You know, you live there to get the hell away from that because you can go up there and buy property for nothing. I was just looking online. You can buy some of the most affluential areas in Birmingham, 5-bedroom, 3-bath, 3,000 square foot homes for like, you know, $350,000.
Mm.
And if you go out into the rural areas where it's out and out, and Florida has that as well. I mean, Oviedo used to be that, but you're not finding Oviedo property like that anymore because that property's gone through the roof. But you would find areas like that where you could buy an acre of property, an estate-like thing, build a house on there, and really not spend a ton of money and have your, like, dream, you know, resort-type thing away.
Here, it's something that happened to me at the wedding. You know, there were 5 or 6 people that knew who I was, but for the most part, nobody knew, you know, the radio show. And one guy comes up and goes, "Hey, I hear you on the radio." And I was, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am." "You ever met Rush Limbaugh?" And I'm like, "No."
I just worked with them the other day.
No.
We all worked in the same building.
And then he goes, "You know Howard Stern's?" Not one Stern.
Right.
"You know Howard Stern's?"
There's a bunch of them.
He's the same guy who would say Orlando Magic's.
Yeah.
And I said, "No, sir. I don't
Let's
know
go
Howard.
Kobe's.
I don't know Howard Stern's."
We talked to him, but we don't know him.
Yeah. I genuinely thought that before I started working here that he was down the hall. So I don't blame the guy.
And I said, "No, sir.
I walked down here to see Howard Stern, and I found the Monsters or Russ Bowen Dirty Jim."
And when I said no, I didn't know either one of them. He goes, "Oh, cool." And he just walked away. He was not impressed. Which is,
"You ain't nothing then. Why are you here?
Why are you here?
I want the Sterns to come over.
What's the big deal?
You know Marconi?"
Right.
No.
I hear Glenn Beck's a dick. They're saying Dothan, Alabama is gorgeous. The Rosa Parks Museum is in Montgomery.
Oh, is it?
The epicenter of some of the Civil Rights activity.
Yeah, I thought so as well. That's when I thought of Montgomery, I was like, man, there's a lot of Civil Rights stuff happened there. And I think the Civil War, there's a bunch of, not a bunch, but I thought there was a memorial there that noteworthy, but I can't remember exactly.
The only battlefield I could find, Jimmy, it was a battle with the U.S. and Native Americans. There was a big battlefield there where we won some battle against the Native Americans, but I couldn't find anything else. But
they said the Vulcan was actually built in 1939. It was renovated in 1999.
Oh, is that what it was?
That's what the texting service is saying. Again, I don't know how accurate that is because I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's huge. And you go.
What's it like 100 feet tall? What is that then? Is it elevator or stairs?
I had to take elevator, and I got up there, and my wife's like, "I'm afraid of heights. I don't know if I..." I'm like, "Oh, we'll be fine. Don't worry." And we go up, and I just want to start freaking out because I had that stupid feeling where, like, oh, my God, if I jumped, I'd die.
Right, yeah.
And I'm holding on to the railing. I'm like, "I don't like this." We did one lap around. I'm like, "Let's get down," because it has the grate that you walk on. You can see down, you know, the bottom, and it was freaky.
You know, the texting service has a wealth of knowledge, and they're checking in 77031, saying the Vulcan statue pays tribute to the iron industry that Birmingham was... mired, and they said it was the Pittsburgh of the South.
That's what they called it, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of iron in those mountains up there.
It was Pittsburgh of the South, and the Magic City is what they called it.
56 feet tall.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Man.
That's a little bit taller than this building. That's still a gigantic iron... I mean, that's still a big statue, guys. You think about that. What'd it look like?
It was supposed to be ugly because Vulcan was a particular god that was supposed to be an ugly god.
All right.
And so...
Like a big old piece of ore, maybe?
He's got, like, short little legs, and he's holding up, like, some sort of a arrow or something.
So it did resemble a being?
Yeah, it was a man.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it was a man that looked like the god of forging, I believe is what it is. So, but it was, you know, it was super interesting. There was one thing I was going to tell you. What the hell else was it? Man, their zoo, though. That zoo was a nice zoo.
What was the most exotic thing in the zoo? Was it the white rhino? Was that the star? Because every zoo has a star, right?
Yeah. I think the white rhino might have been, that jaguar had a big draw to it, and there's a Komodo dragon.
Nice.
And
was it expensive? Like,
no,
what, 15 like bucks again or something?
12 bucks a person.
$12?
$12 a person. And
thinking about, what, an hour and a half to see it all, maybe two?
I think we walked around for like 3 hours, you know, goofing around and laughing and, you know, just...
There you go.
Because there was nobody there, you know. Which,
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Heat?
Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah, I bet that thing's pretty good in the fall, though.
Oh, the monkeys. The monkeys were great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those are always fun to watch. But anyway, I want to thank Justin and Lacey for inviting me. Had a great time. Congratulations to you guys, and thanks for the nice kind of shout-out during your wedding about you're one of the best, you got the best. That was very, very cool. Hey, when we come back, you have a chance to win tickets for two to Universal Studios Orlando when we're going to be there on August the 4th. It's a part of our Monster Fan Appreciation Show. If you win tickets, you can go hang out with us that day. We're going to be taking over Real Radio 104.1 that morning, so we'll be live on the radio playing our favorite music, and we'll go on rides with you. We're going to have lunch at the Monster Cafe, probably end up at that Irish bar, so join us that day. It's the Monster Fan Appreciation Show, and you can win tickets when we come back. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Without crying. Real Radio 104.1.
Lightstream. People ask me about this all the time because they heard me talking about it. Lightstream/Monsters is where you want to go if you want to consolidate your... Triple R 77 is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. That's Brad Siebert and his staff help you get into a brand new house. You want to ask them about their free appraisal and free home warranty offer. Great people, licensed lenders that will help you buy a house. I know a lot of people that have used them. I did myself personally. I can only say incredible things about them. Everyone I've ever known who's used Brad Siebert has been just as happy. So if you're looking to buy a house, it doesn't matter if you got great credit. If you got great credit, he'll get you a great interest rate. If you got poor credit, and say your credit score is 580 or less, it happens. He still can help you get a house. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com, 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. If you're military, they love to help you get the financing with that military loan. You want to give them a call. Once again, it's 407-636-9808, WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes here with us. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Russ. How you doing this morning?
I am wonderful. Just got back from Birmingham, Alabama. You ever been there?
I have not, but I've been to Alabama before, and it's a different kind of place.
Yeah, but Birmingham was... I can't talk about the rest of Alabama, because I was just in Birmingham, but what I saw was beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. I've driven through there. It is like a nice winter park there.
Yeah, I would say so. Hey, we have... Let's see what prize we have in the prize pinata today with Angel. We might have something special for you.
The Prize Pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company offering both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Go to the website, centomoving.com. You hit the start quote button, put your information there. Let them know that you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1 Monsters in the Morning. There's a discount for you. Well, you've heard us talk about it. It's hot out there. So on moving day, have them help you out while you hang out in the AC. CentoMoving.com.
It's hot.
Up first, we have a pair of tickets to see Orlando City take on NYCFC at Orlando City Stadium. That's going down July the 26th. That's
my favorite boy band.
That's in a couple days at 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information.
They're fly, man.
We have a pair of tickets to Monster Jam Triple Threat Series at the Amway Center, and that goes down August the 18th. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword events, for more information. Monster Jam Triple Threat Arena Tour is entirely different format than Orlando has seen or witnessed at the Camping World Stadium. This upcoming tour features 8 of the most talented Monster Jam drivers competing on 3 different vehicles all inside the Amway.
And let's face it, one threat was almost too much.
That's going to be loud.
These other two threats are going to be heart-wrenching.
You got the Monster Jam Speedsters, Monster Jam ATVs, and then they wrap it up with the Monster Jam Trucks. Again, that's going down August the 18th. Go to realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information.
All right.
We have a 4-pack of tickets to see the David Matthews Tribute Band at the House of Blues on Friday, August the 3rd. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information. And we'll wrap it up with a pair of tickets to join the Monsters for Fan Appreciation Day at Universal Orlando on Saturday, August the 4th. Prize includes two-park, two-day park-to-park Universal Orlando tickets valid for admission to Universal Studios and Universal Island of Adventure theme parks, general parking pass, and a $25 Universal Orlando gift card.
That's pretty cool. Now, you'll get your gift card. You know, what we're going to do is also a big photo. You know, the day of, we're going to be right in front of the radio broadcast center, and when we get all the Moss fans together, do a big, really cool photo in front of that that area, and then give you your $25 gift card then. You can use that a little bit later on at the Monster Cafe to have lunch with us, but you're going to be able to go and ride the rides, go hang out. We'll do lunch at the Monster Cafe around noon, 12:30 or so, and then after that, do whatever you want. I'm probably going to end up at that Irish bar that's there, but everybody can just have a great time at Universal Studios, and a big thank you to Universal Studios Orlando for doing this, because they never give out like 100 tickets for anybody, and they did that for us, and we really do appreciate it.
Can I ask a question? Is the gift card for food only?
No, you can do
whatever you want. Yeah, whatever
you want. Yeah, if you want to get one of those.
I'm getting donuts with mine.
Don't you?
I am straight going to donuts.
I bought a wand.
Yeah, you can buy wood. I've saved them up over the years, and I actually bought a full-size Woody Woodpecker costume.
And those are the prizes in today's prize pinata.
Thanks, Angel. 407-916-1041 or toll-free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Hey, Ryan, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
Hey, how are you guys?
I am wonderful. I have a trivia question for you. If you get it right, you can take whatever prize you want. If you don't get it, then you can rely on one of the monsters to help you. And you've got Angel, Carlos, Dirty Jim, or Ryan Holmes here, okay?
Other Ryan.
Okay.
All right. The University of East Anglia conducted a study with 112,000 people with 79 different trials. They found that people using this popular supplement experienced little to no benefit over a year or more. So this particular supplement that I think we've all been told you should take, they have determined is ridiculous. Like, you know,
a placebo. It doesn't work at all.
Yeah, you're doing nothing. Well, what supplement do you think they've determined is really giving you the little to no benefit?
Vitamin C.
Vitamin C is not a bad guess.
No. That's a horrible guess.
No.
We need vitamin C, girl. We need it.
Who do you want to help you? You've got Dirty Jim, Angel, girl. Carlos, or Ryan Holmes?
I'm going to go with Carlos.
Carlos, Ryan.
That's how some chicks like it. You know, you talk to them a little tough, and then they love you afterwards. You know what I'm saying, Ryan? You know what I'm saying, baby? I love you, baby.
All right, Ryan.
I love you.
Ryan said he thought it was vitamin C. Question is, conducted a study with 112,000 people, 79 different trials. They found people using this popular supplement experienced little to no benefit over a year or more.
It's popular supplement, which would have to be something very popular.
It is. And when I saw this, I was like, God, now I gotta stop taking it.
Then you really get to the bottom of it. Yeah. I like that about
supplement.
Doo doo gummies.
It's popular.
And Russ, you take it.
I think a lot of people might. A lot of people in our audience, I'm sure, do.
Now, supplement. It's interesting that you say
supplement.
That's
all I'm saying. You stop asking me questions.
No, it's just interesting that you say supplement.
That's what it's called. Come on.
What's this lady's name?
This is Ryan.
Ryan, sweetheart, baby, schnookums.
Dumb name.
What about ginkgo biloba?
I thought of that first. So.
I mean, it's either...
Ginkgo biloba?
No, wait a second. Ryan, we'll have to agree. Is it ginkgo biloba or horny goatweed? Because Russ takes both.
I don't care what it is. Just have Russ say it a bunch.
All right, we're going to go with ginkgo biloba.
Ginkgo biloba. No, it is not ginkgo biloba. It is not it. 407-916-1041.
Sorry, Ryan.
That's my favorite boy band.
Hey, Chase from Winter Garden. You're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, buddy?
They're Thai, right?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Great. They did a study. 112,000 people. 79 different trials. They found people using this popular supplement experience little to no benefit at all after a year and even more.
I had my physical last week.
How's your butt?
What about... it's good.
Okay.
What about, like, omega-3?
Omega-3 is not the answer.
But it's damn close.
Hold on.
Because that's what's in it.
Yep.
That's what's in it. What'd you just say?
Narrow it down a little bit.
Like omega-3 fish oil?
Fish oil is the answer. There you go. That is the answer. Correct. Yeah. There you go. We put you on hold.
Yeah, that omega-3.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read a study a while back about the idea of taking fish oil to get omega-3 and how that was kind of... I think the one I read proved that the word omega is what drew people to it. And the fish oil thing, of course, everybody knows that fish is healthy for you as you eat it. So they're like, well, it'll work and it'll sell. And
I got to tell you, I had no idea why I was taking it. I like, no one told me to take it. Ooh, fish oil must be good for you.
The only thing it does is make my girlfriend's breath stink.
Yeah. There are more incarnations and companies that produce a fish oil supplement pill. When you go and look on that area, like at CVS or wherever you shop, whether it be Walgreens or whatever,
right?
Yeah, I mean, there are more people pumping that out.
It says here they gave half the people that in the study a dummy pill or a placebo, and half they gave them the fish oil. And at the end of the year, and half there was no difference in either of this. Like,
so it's just better to eat fish. Is that what they're saying?
They're not even saying that. They're just saying that these supplements are not. Fish oils have falsely been praised by people all over the world, and it really
for like heart disease and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, the fatty acids, right? They always say omega-3 fatty acids are great.
It says here they also did a study with school children for 10 years and gave them fish oil, and there was no difference either.
Yeah,
so that supplement hustle—that is the biggest like con job of all time, because all they have to do is put that little disclaimer on there. Hey, you know, the whatever department,
FDA, doesn't
FDA
approve it,
hasn't approved this, but trust us, this is going to protect your heart.
No, thank you.
I know. And then there's vitamin D. I mean, all these other supplements, are they really? Because I was told by somebody that all that stuff it just comes out in your urine. You're not really absorbing it.
Well, weird conversations, dude.
I mean, the RDA will give you an idea of how much of that you need per day. Like, if you need so many, I don't know, it's not, I forget the word. You need so much vitamin C, you need so much salt, you need so much this in your body for it to work properly every day. And if you're not getting it, that's why you take a multivitamin occasionally.
Yeah.
Like guys our age or whatever, where our diets aren't perfect, you'll take that one of those Centrums or whatever.
Yeah.
And it makes sure that you get the
are
daily...
Are you guys taking the Centrum Silvers?
No. But it makes sure that you get the daily allowance of all those if your diet doesn't...
What is wrong with you?
Right home.
Shame.
That's once a week now.
That's okay. Okay, buddy, you've been here a total of 11 minutes.
Yeah.
No reason you can't pull that off.
Pick up your things.
I get so mad at fish oil, though.
He obviously is very enraged at fish oil.
I spent hundreds of dollars on fish oil.
Wow.
Hundreds.
They got you.
Easily.
So when a study like this comes out, and you are, you're ahead of the fish oil company, and you're rolling in the dough. They're buying this fish oil left and right.
These freaking idiots out there eating this fish oil. It ain't worth a damn.
And a study comes out that says, up, you're wasting your money. Do they go into freak out mode? Do they try to do something maybe find some other study to
We gotta repackage it. What's Gronkowski doing? He's gotta sell this.
Right.
Big Fish has definitely put out a hit on this guy's study. Oh yeah.
It won't matter because people don't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, people will be like, well, that's the fake news. I mean, that's what, you know, they're like, well, they're just saying that. I mean, people still continue to take it. They will always, and look, here's the thing. If taking it mentally gives you the
effect.
The effect that you're looking for, who cares? It's not hurting you.
Here's a perfect example, right? So after we get the answer and everything, I type it in. These are the three sites that are running with this story. This is why they're this industry, omega-3 industry, not even sweating one bullet.
Well,
right?
This story's from the BBC.
All right, that's cool. Now, how many people here in the United States of America use the BBC as a news source?
Weird progressive hippies,
right? Because the three that came up here was the Minnesota Post, the Newser, and Medscape. That's it.
Yeah. Medscape.
Medscape.
They made great butter oil.
Yeah.
All right.
Medscape. What is that even?
I don't know.
Probably some website. Awesome. Where they. All right. You're listening to the Mach of the Morning. Mood alert, be prepared. I'm on my diet.
Oh,
so look out.
I knew you were a little off today.
I'm not yet.
I can already tell.
Thanks a lot for saying I'm already off, but no, I'm fine. I'm fine right now.
Did you start today or did you start yesterday?
I started this morning. As of 3 hours ago, I started.
Oh, we're good. We're still in the comfort zone still.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm telling you now. Yeah, I've decided.
So then you don't want the Chick-fil-A that we were getting?
Nope, can't have it. I'm going to get back to being hard-headed and, you know.
What are you planning?
When do you think he snaps?
I don't know.
It's 7:20. Do you think he snaps before 11 o'clock?
So is the diet like three hard-boiled eggs and a bag of hydroxy cuts?
I'm going to just protein and things to keep me, you know, with energy, so I feel like getting to the gym, you know, so I will take the hydroxy cut and getting back. I got to, you know,
what happened?
It's called combos and corn nuts and beef jerky and
combos and corn nuts and beef jerky is calling.
And all the barbecue you can eat on
road
a trip.
Road trip farts.
It was road trip food, but God, I love a road trip. I got to tell you, Jimmy, I was as I'm driving, I'm looking and seeing all the people driving with their fifth wheels, is that what you call it?
They're pulling them. They're when you're driving it's like a pusher or a Class C, but it's a driver.
Yeah.
Mine, you pull mine.
But lots of people.
Oh, yeah, man.
And that is, that's the new thing. They're saying not millennials, but what's before millennial? Gen Xers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing is camping.
Camping's a big deal with even millennials right now, man. Guys are buying, you know, the biggest, I was just had to take my camper in for service before we go on our trip coming up the weekend. You guys are going out to Universal, right?
Yeah.
So while I'm there, I just kind of pay attention to the trends. What there aren't many of is what I have, because you have to buy a truck that'll pull it.
Right.
What I'm seeing a lot of is basically an air-conditioned box.
Yeah.
It's a camper so small you could put two of them in that room, and it's basically the kitchen pops out of the back of it. So it's basically built to be outside and have you sleep inside. And they're like $8,000, and you can pull them with any. You pull them with your Buick.
I was watching one of the morning shows yesterday, and they were talking about how this is the biggest trend right now in the country. Of taking your family on camping trips and camping. And as we're driving, I'm looking at the motorhomes, you know, the mobile homes, and I'm like, you know what? I think we could do this. I really enjoy just driving and listening to music and seeing the little towns and little places. I loved it.
For us, taking my camper out to this day is, and we get to do it probably 6 or 7 times a year, is genuinely one of the best. Even just anticipating sitting in front of my camper and smoking a cigar and reading and having some beer just makes me happy. Like, because once you get out there, you know that it's understood for everybody that knows you that you're away.
Yeah.
And nobody tries to contact you. And most of the places you go, if you go anywhere, has spotty cell service to begin with, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you just load up on a bunch of DVDs that you want to watch and just kind of pile up. It's great, man.
Yeah, we enjoy the listening to the music thing. But there was a lot of a lot of motorhomes that were out on the road.
75 is a big thoroughfare because one of the big camping areas for Florida is West Coast.
So, Russ, you're looking at a fifth wheel or are you looking at a straight-up RV?
No, I would do RV, would be me. I'm an RV kind of guy, I think, but...
I like the idea of pulling because I could drive my truck somewhere. I didn't want to get stuck if I drive it there. Now,
a lot of people pull
the good thing
a
is
little
you can
car.
Pull a little car. Yeah. A lot of guys do Jeeps. Really, the setup is they get a Jeep, an older Jeep. They put it in neutral, and off they go. They pull it because it doesn't doesn't put much of a load on what's pulling it because they're real light.
Now, if you're looking at an RV, Russ, are you looking at one of these ones that looks like it could be like a bus for like a rock star?
Oh, yeah, the triple RV.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that what we're looking at?
Hey, you know who deals those now, right?
The Thurston's.
Oh, really?
Man,
yeah.
I probably would want one that looks like it's a truck with an RV the RV on the back, because I know I could drive that without a problem, you know? What do you mean, boo?
Those are inexpensive, man. You can get one of those for not much at all.
You got to get the coach one. It's only like $400,000.
You can buy one pre. Those things lose value pretty quick, though. Those real fancy ones, you can find them all day long, a few years old, for under $100,000.
And there's campgrounds all up and down. What was that? The 17 or
everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. And you know when you
and
join.
They're packed.
You get, you're part of a club. It's called the Good Sam Club. If you choose to join, there are a number of them, but Good Sam's the biggest one.
Yeah.
The cool thing is it gives you every possible campground out there, what it has, a review. It's pretty awesome, man. It's a cool lifestyle, man.
Yeah, they're saying a lot of people are doing this because they remember they used to do it when they were kids, so it's kind of come back into vogue. Like, it died off for a long time, and now it's kind of come back into vogue. But just driving and listening to music and hanging out and seeing everything was a lot of fun. When I was a kid,
there was a time in my life where I thought that was like the coolest thing, that's the way to live, right? And do you guys remember the GMC RV?
GMC.
Yeah, like it looked like futuristic. It looked like a futuristic house on wheels, rounded edges and everything.
Oh, it looked like a big silver bullet?
Something like that. Yeah. But no, those are cold. Those are different, though. The ones that are all silver, those are...
Air riders.
Airstream.
Airstream. That's right. No, this is a mobile home. You would drive it, and it just looked super futuristic. If you get a chance, look up the GMC RV. I thought that was going to be like the game over for RVs. They never took off.
Never took off, yeah.
My aunt and uncle lived on the road for their last, like, 15 years of their life.
Right.
And it was the most obnoxious thing to do as a kid. I hated every second of it, going and visiting with them. We would just travel around, and they would stay with campgrounds and campground people, and they're constantly having to unload their doo-doo into the campgrounds. It's gross.
Yeah,
it's gross lifestyle.
I saw a couple movies. One was Sean with the News Junkie. Sean Watson was talking to me, telling about he saw that Joaquin Phoenix movie that's on Amazon now. I think it's called You Weren't Here or You Were Never Here or something like that. And I'm like, you know what? I've seen Joaquin Phoenix movies. I know he's a great actor. Let me watch this because I know he's just been cast as the new Joker in this Joker movie. And they're saying it's going to be him and Robert De Niro in the Joker movie, which sounds like it's going to be pretty good. So I'm like, yeah, let me watch this movie. But it was odd, man. It was a really strange movie.
What is it about?
It's about a guy who was in the war, and he doesn't mind killing people, but he's not. He's a little crazy, but he uses his crazy for kind of good. But he there's not a whole lot of range in it. He just is kind of disturbed and doesn't really. Not a whole lot of, you know, I don't explain it, but it wasn't a bad movie, but I'll tell you what I thought was, and they're undefeated in my book, and I know y'all are going to not agree or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Anytime I ever go on to a Tyler Perry movie, I always love them, and that damn,
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
There's a new Tyler Perry movie called Acrimony.
Come on, man.
I'm telling you. You know what?
Is it a comedy?
What are you doing?
It is not a comedy. It's one of those Tyler Perry movies.
It did pretty well at the box office.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, his movies always do well at the box office. First opening weekend, they do well, and then they crush on rental and DVD, and he's a billionaire.
Look, we enjoyed it much more than the other movie. It was fun. I mean, I don't know.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah. It's not an Academy Award winning movie, okay?
No.
But it's got twists to it. It's about a really mad black woman and how she raises hell because she catches him cheating.
Right. It's Madea's sister.
But it's
in
got
a movie.
It's got a twist to it.
With a twist.
I thought it was great, man. Yeah. Anytime I see
Just to give you an idea how he does this, right? It cost him $20 million to make this movie.
Yeah.
Acrimony?
Yeah.
And 18 of that was his own salary.
Guess how much they made at the box office?
How much
Acrimony? It got destroyed.
Did it?
I loved it.
I thought it was so good.
I never even heard of it.
A psychological thriller film produced and directed by Tyler Perry. It received general unfavorable reviews from critics, but grossed. Again, I told you.
What did it make? 48?
46.
Yeah, that's enough.
$46 million.
He doubled the money.
He wins.
Hey, but you know what? If I enjoyed it, what does it matter what the...
does not.
No, no, but that goes to the template of why Tyler Perry continues to be able to do movies. He has a very... This is how I do it. We're going to do this. We got my own... He has, all kinds of property in Atlanta?
Most of the movies you see shot right now are shot on Tyler Perry Studios, like the Marvel films, like Walking Dead, like basically any show that you see, that little Georgia sign. Tyler Perry owns the studios that they're being filmed on. He bought a gigantic army base out there that is literally miles upon miles upon miles where he's building these giant studios. So I'm grateful as hell for Mr. Tyler Perry.
It says that right here. Coerler's filming took place in Pittsburgh and in Atlanta.
I've enjoyed every one of the movies I've seen.
I've never seen one.
You've never seen a Tyler Perry movie?
I've never seen a Tyler Perry movie.
Let me ask you, why do you not watch him?
I'm racist.
And there was a day that back when I was single. I was like, well, gosh, can I go into that movie? It's only black people.
You were single just long enough to see this movie.
Yeah, no, not this movie. No, the other Tyler Perry movies. And I went to one by myself. I'm like, well, that was a good movie. And what they'll do, Tyler Perry will throw in one white person.
Oh yeah,
yeah, just one.
It's the reverse of what has been happening in Hollywood ever.
Yeah, he threw in one white person who happened to be like the gay wedding planner. He's in it for like 4 seconds. And ask him to leave the room.
I love it.
And then there's no other white people in it, but I don't care. It has nothing this Acrimony has nothing to do with being black or white. They're just, you know.
I've just never seen a Tyler Perry movie because when I think Tyler Perry, I know he's more than that, a lot more than that, but I think Madea.
Madea.
I think a man dressing up as a woman, which I've seen a bunch of times. Big Mama's House, like all those movies kind of came out at the same time, and I was like, I need to see one more of those.
Yeah, yeah. His is like the mecca of you know, black dudes dressing up like old black ladies.
Yeah.
His is like, you know, but Eddie Murphy did it, Martin Lawrence did it.
Yep.
Every single big time comedian kind of does that because it does hit a certain audience.
Now there are people on the texting server saying, "Oh, that movie was crap," and another one says, "Oh, that was a badass movie," and someone else says it was crap. We enjoyed it. Like we had more fun
That's
watching
that
than we did watching the Joaquin Phoenix one that was so serious and so
100%. Honestly, the great thing about entertainment is completely subjective. It does not matter what you like or I like or whatever. It's how you what entertains you, and that's all that really matters.
I'll tell you something else to watch too.
But that is a horrible movie.
I love it. I thought it was good. Something else I watched. My wife had never seen Urban Cowboy. And of course, we were listening to some of the music on the way up.
She wore boots to the wedding.
I know, but she's never seen the movie, right? And I'm like, okay, well, you know, when we get home, we'll watch Urban Cowboy. That is a movie that could not be made today.
Why do you say that?
Hashtag me too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you talk about, you're a woman. You can't ride that bull. Women's place in the house. I mean, it is so, there are so many references.
The term is called sexist.
And then sexist. The first time he hits her, he's like, oh, relax. I didn't hit you that hard. I mean, it was like, it was hashtag me too crazy in that movie. And you don't remember it. It's not, you're not sensitive to it until you watch it again. You watch it now, and he's like, you might think you're gonna ride that ride, but you ain't riding that ride. Like, he talks to her so horrible.
And even at that time, that was done on purpose to kind of like emphasize where this guy was from and how rural he was. So that was over the
top. Yeah, it's a character.
Yeah, that's an that specific movie was kind of known for the clashing of cultures, in a sense. So, it probably was overemphasized in that film. But, most stuff. Look, I watch The Office. I watch Friends. And we are in a more sensitive kind of ear kind of world. There's a lot of, obviously, great benefit that has come from that because a lot of these dirt bags have been gone.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to be judged later.
Yeah,
you know,
it was odd to watch it because there were scenes that were put in Urban Cowboy that you don't think they would do today just because it's
cool. It shows that the movement is working in and of itself because you got Russ going, well, I can't look at this movie. So, it's cool that's happening.
I think you have to be careful with that, right? In the sense of this, the Me Too movement is a real thing, and they're dealing with real dudes, real guys taking advantage of their positions of power. Urban Cowboy was a movie.
Yeah, right.
It was a depiction of a story of what it was to be in rural Texas, a guy and a girl, and she wants to ride and all these things. It wasn't real life. So when you see these movies, whether it's, you know, and they fit these stereotypes, but to quickly label it, a Me Too kind of thing.
Yeah.
It almost, that's a different thing. Yeah.
It almost kind of de-emphasizes that Me Too is a real thing.
Let me assure you, coming from a small town, that was not a depiction.
That's what it was.
That was a reflection
of
how men rolled as I grew up. I mean, that's how it is in the South. It just was like that.
Yeah,
I think the movie could still be made today in an independent style, especially emphasizing
with some of those lines.
Totally, every single line. What you can't happen is a giant corporate blockbuster to be shown as sexist, to be shown as
Disney ain't going to make that movie.
Exactly. So like an independent house, a Bloom, you can make it because you're trying to make a point with the characters.
Yeah.
But it was just a commonplace behind the scenes. That's the Me Too mirror.
I understand that.
But do that. We all do that. We always, I've done it myself and I'm catching myself to not do that, to lump in the Me Too movement. And I'm not saying you, Russ, like I'm literally saying I've caught myself. I don't want to lump in this amazing movement that is really changing women and people that have been feeling left out to associate it with like over sensitivity or over dramatization of art.
Because people are assaulted. I mean, that's a crime.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. I understand. What I mean was there are certain films you go back and watch,
like
Blazing Saddles or like Urban Cowboy.
Let's say
or
any
other movies,
film before last week.
And there are lines that are said like, oh man, you wouldn't say that now because of many different movies.
You want to cringe watching, it's North Dallas 40.
Oh, yeah.
You watch North Dallas 40, and it's it's probably one of the best football movies ever.
It's probably
hard. It is.
And it's probably the closest reflection of what football was actually actually like in the day.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, and it's hard to watch.
Nick Nolte.
I mean, within the first 15, 20 minutes, you're like, I don't know if I want to watch this.
Yeah, yeah.
And
this was, and that was considered an iconic movie.
Yeah, you should check it out, Lewis. It's a real Nick Nolte. It's called North Dallas 40.
North Dallas 40.
Your views on things are probably different now than they were back then. I know I've watched Urban Cowboy before and not thought twice about any of the stuff they were talking about. Like, oh, that's just part of the movie. No big deal. And now I'm like, oh, man. When he's telling, look, you're a woman. You can't do what men do. You know, you're really talking down to her.
There's generations of that.
But have you guys, okay, look, none of us here are little lilies where we get offended or super sensitive. But I've put on Delirious, Eddie Murphy Delirious, and I watch it.
And I'm like,
talking about gay people. Oh, yeah.
From Go.
And I remember watching it clear as day and not flinching, laughing, because it was... So
just jokes. Yeah.
How do you, you know? I had never seen it
till like a year ago, and I was like, "Whoa!" He got famous off of this special.
Yeah, it is rough, man.
Yeah,
you want to shock yourself? Listen to some old monster shows. Oh my god! Yeah.
All right, the Dice Clay.
Hey, do you know? Did you guys do this yesterday? The 20 artists and who made the most money last year?
No.
Interesting list of the people that made the most money in music last year. I'll tell you who those are when we come back. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
You'll have as much fun as the people in those herpes commercials.
407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041.
Real Radio
104.1.
From
Hey, remember, at 9 o'clock, you can go to our website at monsters.fm and look and see if your name is one of the Daily Five. If it is, if your name is up there, you get hold of Blog and Molly and let her know that you want to go on the to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. And make plans if you have a family and you want to do something fun with Real Radio and the Monsters. It's the Monster Back to School Skate Party with your host, Carlos B. Angel and Boom will be rocking the tunes.
All the DJs and dance crews all around the world.
Savannah's gonna be there. I will be there with my couple skate. I got a big prize for the couple skate party. Ryan Holmes and the Cotton Candy Bonanza.
Yeah, that's right. Big prize for me too.
All that is happening on Friday night, August the 10th. Represent your school and come out and bring supplies for a gift for teaching, which is the reason that we're doing this. But it's going to be at Astro Skate, and it's coming up on August the 10th. Looking forward to it?
Hell yeah, man. I'm looking forward to skating, meeting the people, getting all those school supplies. Don't show up empty-handed. Come on now. If you're coming out to skate, bring a little bit of stuff with you, too. And that way the kids can get their paper and notebooks, and I can... host the race, man. I'm ready to.
Yeah, you got
to
race
the fastest.
You're gonna host the race. Yeah. I've got the couple skate thing. I'll host. Savannah's got snake skate. So all kinds of cool stuff. And it's a family night. We don't do a whole lot of monster things where you bring the entire family.
Never.
This is one of them. So I hope you guys enjoy it. So this came out from Billboard magazine. Now here's how they're judging. And a lot of times they throw in other things like if you sell Beat headphones, and they added it. That's not what's added in this. This is they estimate stuff like a music sales, streaming, ringtones, publishing royalties, and touring to find out, you know, what artist made the most money last year just off of the music itself.
Yeah,
not
so basically as a songwriter type thing, right? Mm-hmm. And the music, the actual performance of the music,
right? So like, well, if Kiss sells a Kiss coffin, it's not counted. Okay, so who do you think came in first place? Last year, artists who made the most money.
I'll start it off with Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran is number 5 on the list, and he made $31.3 million.
So
you got on board. How about you, Carlos? Who do you think?
Oh, man, Drake. I got to throw Drake out there.
Drake not in the top 10.
Last year, no album. Though.
Drake not in the top 20.
That's crazy.
What do you think, Angel?
Ooh. Yeah.
Yes. Very good. With $54.4 million, U2
I made the most.
That number is ridiculous.
Is number one. Now, that's once again, publishing royalties, ringtones, music sales, streaming, and touring.
That's touring, though.
That's got to be touring,
that's
right?
That's touring, yeah,
U2 was on tour?
Yeah, U2 was on tour, and they do huge stadium
tours.
Well,
remember what this was. This was the anniversary of one of the most iconic albums ever, Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree, yeah.
And we when that tour came through Florida, we saw they had, I know they had a stop in Tampa. I don't know if they had a stop in South Florida. I think Tampa was the only stop, and everybody in Florida who is a U2 fan went to that show.
Oh, I know.
You know, we saw it all posted everywhere. So that was the anniversary of that. And then they didn't have a new album until now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, $54.4 million. You know, that's one of those bands that I wish I could get. I just don't. I know there are people that love them. They have all their albums. I'm not a U2 fan. Okay, so it's $54.4 million. Who do you think came in second place? I'll let you take a guess, Ryan Holmes.
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. You know, you would have thought Guns N' Roses would be up there towards the top, but they're in eighth place with still only $27.8 million. Isn't it amazing, though, that Axl Rose was able to get his stuff together, and they've had this tour now for, two or three years, and this will solidify them as one of the greatest rock bands of all time.
Yeah, they need another album.
It would be nice. We would have it's the best rock show I've ever seen, the one that just came through here.
It was a great one, for sure.
It's the best rock show I've ever seen.
Better than Limp Bizkit. We saw it, and rocked the place to their faces off.
It was the best rock show I've ever seen. It sounded incredible. The song list was incredible. It just had every aspect of a rock show that I want.
They're laughing at our Limp Bizkit show. They're laughing.
Yeah, you should not sleep on Limp Bizkit.
That was insane.
One year.
And by the way,
it was in the prime of Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, and by the way, opening for them, System of a Down.
Yes.
So that show was bananas. Okay.
And literally people were jumping from the top railings and jumping down. It was insane, but I'm guessing that this Guns N' Roses show was better.
Guns N' Roses, if they drop an album to back up this tour, they're in the top five.
Yeah.
The way that the way that they're compiling this list, that's a huge component of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that YouTube, Guns N' Roses show, we would have seen it 5 days in a row. My wife and we were like, we would have gone every night that week and paid the same money every time. That incredible.
If Axl doesn't clean his stuff up and get the work on time and get on stage and all that, if he did the same old crap he had done before, then they go down as
He and Slash kind of make up, make it right. And I think they have four members of the band that are original members. Yeah. It's Axl, Duff, Slash, and Izzy,
yeah,
I think. The only guy,
Adler. Steven Adler didn't make it, yeah.
Adler didn't do it. I don't think Izzy's on this.
You don't
either.
Think Izzy's anymore?
No.
So they got that amount of money with no album. That's just touring.
Yeah,
then that means the Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd guy that's got to be up there.
You're right. Very good, Carlos. Yeah, Roger Waters is in ninth place with $27.2 million.
Yeah, those are super expensive tickets, and I think they only do, stadiums.
All right.
And it's small areas, too. I don't think they do tours of, 50 shows. Yeah.
Who else? Oh, we're missing two other shows three other shows that went right through town here.
Didn't Elton John retire last year? Was that the year
he's
did
got,
that?
A whole 2 years. Rolling Stones, I think?
Stones not in the top 20.
How about Bay?
Beyonce not in the top 20.
Who toured?
Are they rock bands or are they pop bands?
No, these are one's a country act and the others are pop and rock.
Sam Hunt?
Garth Brooks is in second place with $52.2 million. Wherever Garth grows, wherever he goes, he sells out 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row.
Yeah.
In Nashville, it was 7 days in a row he sold out.
And he did it here. And friends who I know that don't even listen to country went to that show.
I've been to his shows before. Great. He's put on one of the best shows, man.
You want to hear? Okay, so Brooks' strong showing is almost entirely the result of his road work. He wrapped up a 3.5-year, 390-date concert tour at the end of 2017. Now, Billboard estimates grossed him $137.3 million that year, netting him $46.7 take-home pay.
And touring is the only thing that keeps him out of Sonny's.
He's worth every penny. He's
great. It's really kind of a diet for him, really, if you think about it.
Great. I wonder why he doesn't come to a place like Orlando or to Nashville and do a stadium. He did the Amway here, and he did 4 or 5 days in a row at Amway.
But that's why he does it. It's easier. It's more cost effective to do Amway and do it four days than one show at Camping World.
I'm going to go to his next show. I've been to it way long ago, and I remember it was so much fun. He ran everywhere.
Oh, yeah. He still does. He's great. Yeah.
I got to check it out.
In third place, Metallica with $43.2 million.
Not surprising. Their album last year was Return to Form. It did really well.
And stadium
bunch of singles.
Tours.
Yeah.
And not to mention, they have like four iconic albums. I mean, they've made a lot of really.
They're always making money.
They were here in Orlando, right?
Yeah.
Metallica, yeah, big show. And then Bruno Mars in fourth place with $40.7 million. Ed Sheeran, Jimmy, I think, said him, $31.3 million for Ed Sheeran.
Bruno Mars is a force.
Lady Gaga with $29.7 million for her tour.
Damn. No idea she was even touring, actually.
I didn't either. But when her new movie comes out, A Star is Born, she's going to go to a whole new level.
Yeah.
It looks really, really good. And then in seventh place, and this guy, I just saw a story about him, and I don't know how I feel about him. He made $29.2 million.
Rod Stewart?
He pretty much has just played one place.
Oh, Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. Yeah, Billy Joel, $29.2 million. And basically, Jimmy, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but what he's doing is every month he's been selling out Madison Square Garden.
It's a residency.
And he's done 100 shows so far, and I think still going. And it sells out every single time. 100 sellouts.
He doesn't seem like the nicest guy.
Dude,
if that guy was playing 409, I would not walk down there to watch.
Really?
I do not.
Absolutely.
I never got Billy Joel. I never understood it. I don't like the style of music he plays, and he's a dick.
I love Billy Joel. I've seen him perform before, but yeah, the interviews I hear of him,
did you see the documentary? Sidemen?
Oh my God, dude.
In the documentary Sidemen that's on Netflix, it paints the most unflattering picture of that guy that doesn't compel you to want to become a fan
dude,
of his.
Dude, this guy put his, was it the bass player? He put
his whole backing band.
Put him on the curb after writing songs with him for like 18 years, never called him, never nothing.
Ooh.
Tour manager basically said, you're out. He wouldn't pick up Billy's call, Billy wouldn't pick the guy's phone up. It just really makes him look like the biggest dick that ever was.
They interviewed him on this on the CBS Sunday Morning Show on Sunday, and he did seem a bit gruffly. And he said that he doesn't think that he stopped making music because he said he couldn't make it the way he thought it should be anymore. Mm-hmm. He wasn't as good as he used to be, and he couldn't forgive himself for not being Beethoven. And so he stopped making music.
Position. Yeah, get over yourself, dude. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
wow, really?
Myself all the time for that.
Yeah, an artist that music permeates hundreds of years. This guy's paralleling himself to that because he wrote Piano Man.
Well, no, he said,
break,
he said,
dude. What a pompous
douche. No, what he said was he knows he'll never be that good, and he doesn't forgive.
Yeah, duh. Yeah, key word there is duh.
He doesn't forgive himself for not being that good.
Sit your fat ass down there, bang out your stupid piano songs, and take your money and shut up.
Number 10 on this list.
He really doesn't like him.
Yeah, but I can't really like him.
Coldplay made $26.5 million.
Coldplay, man. That's one of those bands that people go and see, and you're like, who likes Coldplay? Everybody, apparently.
Watch yourself.
I don't get it either.
I like some Coldplay. I really like Chris Martin. I like him specifically. Like, he seems like a cool dude, and how he writes and the comedy little pieces that he's been around.
Did his cred take a hit when he did the Chainsmokers tune, Angel?
Hell no. That was a massive.
His credibility was in question way before that.
Was it really? No. My point is, I mean, of course it was a big hit. That's not the point. The point is, this guy was like...
Yeah.
You know, writing crazy songs, and all of a sudden he does Chainsmokers are considered kind of a joke, right?
By the way, in 11th place, making $23.4 million last year, God bless him, I listened to a lot of him on this road trip, because I love me some Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, God bless him.
Tom Petty, man, I listen to Tom Petty song.
I'm one of America's true great songwriters, Russ. I couldn't agree with you more.
Without a doubt, yeah. So there's your list. When we come back, it's open phones at 8. That means if you got something to tell us, you got something to correct us on, you got something to ask us about, we can do all that when we come back. You're listening to The Mantras in the Morning.
Full of promise and hope and totally ignorant of reality.
That's how a man's supposed to talk to a woman when he's being sexy.
Real Radio 104.1.
Real. Radio.
Hey, vote on our website at Monsters.fm for the best villain actor of all time. When you vote, you're registered to win a $100 Fandango gift card. And now it's Alan Rickman versus Jack Nicholson. Who do you think is the best villain actor between those two? And then Robert De Niro versus Anthony Hopkins. Who do you think is the best villain actor between those two? And whoever wins, the two winners will go up against each other. And when you vote, you are eligible to win that $100 Fandango gift card. Hey, guys, I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. We'll take your phone calls. Open phones at 8. If you got a question for us, something to tell us, something to talk to us about, we'll take your phone calls and kick it around. And we got that coming up here in a second or two.
Hey, real quick, that documentary I was telling you guys about is Hired Guns. It's on Netflix, and it gives you all the information of a lot of the backing bands. It's starring Alice Cooper, Rudy Sarzo, David Foster, and some background information with the bands that these guys were affiliated with.
I kind of want to see that. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I haven't pulled the trigger on Hired Guns yet, but yeah. I'm going to. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Hey, I was talking to Ryan Holmes, and he was saying that, he goes, man, I don't think I have a particular band that I'm a fan of, like one band where I know all the music. And what I was talking to my wife about this on this road trip. I think it's an anomaly for someone to have one band and they know every song from that band. I know Angel probably does it with Oasis. I think he might be that big of an Oasis fan.
I wonder. Let me see. He was just on the phone. Do you know every song to Oasis that Oasis made?
I have three bands that I do that with. Pearl Jam, Black Crowes, and Oasis.
Okay. All right. So,
those are my
three. And then Jimmy. I know Jimmy loves Tool. I don't know if you know every Tool song. Do you?
No. Not at all.
No. So I think it's more of an anomaly. You know, I know everything from Kiss. And
oh, wait. I don't know every one of their songs.
Yeah, oh, you don't?
No.
And even the bands I love, I really don't know much of the lyric. I just love the music.
I couldn't tell you the majority of the song. Tupac has made so much, and then they've recreated so much.
That's
hard to know it all. But Blink-182 is one that I know a lot of. John Mayer is one that I know a lot. It's just honest. And I'm probably learning a lot of Waylon Jennings right now. I know a lot of Waylon. I've listened to a lot of
them. I know a lot of Tom Petty, but I can't say I know every Petty song because he had some albums towards his later career that I didn't listen to as much. So I heard some Petty songs this weekend that I'd never heard before. So I can't count myself as being a super.
I would say I'm more that way with like bands like Tribe Called Quest or Jay-Z. Because for huge parts of college, that's what my go-to music was.
Jay-Z's on this list, by the way. He made $19.8 million.
Eminem. I know
you
a
know
lot.
You know every?
Probably up to
more than
last.
You realize,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm sitting here going, man, what an artist could I put on? I could do the same thing with Tupac, but like I said, there's a bunch of stuff that he didn't physically touch. Eminem up until about his last album. Yeah, his last two albums, I could probably do majority. Yeah,
I like a lot of Toby Keith, but I don't know every song, so I can't count myself.
But your Kiss it goes beyond the music.
Yeah.
You just gave me like a dissertation over the break about Kiss and all these like minutia details, and I'm like blown away.
No, he's asked me about why Gene won't allow the other two members to wear the makeup on stage, and I had to explain to him that when they left the band, and it was their idea to leave, when they left the band, they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you $1 million if you give us the rights for your makeup. And they were like, sure, this band's going in the toilet. Yeah, sure. Give me $1 million. And now they're upset because they won't allow them to wear the makeup. Well, they took $1 million way back in 81, 82 when everyone thought the band was going to be not worth a damn. They took $1 million and said, sure, keep the makeup. We don't care.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you know, they try to paint it as they're being a-holes, but you know,
they had. Jesus,
they stuck with the band when these other two guys left. So that's why that is.
It's pretty interesting. Some of the bands that are coming in on texting. It's Real Mobile 77031. Some of these I get because without realizing, for example, Nirvana. I know
because they
only had three
exactly.
albums.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really easy. I just remember there's, you know, Nevermind. I played that for 2 years straight all the time. Another one is Soundgarden. Someone texted in. Jay-Z and Outkast. That's Papa Murph.
Outkast, yeah. Outkast.
Jack Johnson.
How about Red Hot Chili Peppers, who, by the way, made this list $21.6 million they made.
I could do a lot of their songs, but not all.
Yeah, just the popular stuff.
Kendrick Lamar is up here, by the way, and The Weeknd. Weeknd's number 12 on the list.
The Weeknd's there from streaming and touring, yeah.
$23.3 million, and Kendrick Lamar, $21.7 million. Florida Georgia Line in 16th place with $20 million.
Damn.
And then Bruce Springsteen still up there at 20. He made $18.5 million.
But that wasn't from touring. That's his Broadway show, right?
I don't know.
Well, no. You said it was those things.
Yeah, there's streaming ringtones.
So it's sales, streaming, publishing, and touring.
Well, yeah. I don't feel bad for the music industry anymore.
They've had to adapt. They've had to really kind of diversify how they make their money, and some of them working, some of them ain't.
Hey, streaming is great, man. It changed my life. It changed music. I think it's great. I pay for music now. So.
Yeah. JJ, you're on Real Radio 104.1. It's open phones at 8 with the Monsters. How you doing, buddy?
You. All right. Hey, long time. Monsters morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man. No problem.
Hey, talk about music and band stuff. U2 was probably one of the best shows I've ever seen live. I've seen a lot of bands, but that was pretty good, man. It was really, really, really good.
A lot of people love them, man.
They'd usually break technology there. They usually their stage show is like what other artists end up doing later that year.
Right.
Did you see a bunch of stage stuff that was just insane?
Well, I seen them back in 2009. It was the only time over at Tampa, and it was back when they had like the big spaceship needle. They had 5 cranes setting up their stage, and it was pretty cool. It was a cool deal. 110 trucks, I think they said.
Man.
Oh, my God.
I called about Tom Petty. I won tickets from y'all guys a few years back to go see Tom Petty. That was rad.
Oh, yeah.
A good time. Screaming guitars and everything. It was great.
Hell, yeah.
I love Petty. I always did like Tom Petty. And as I'm listening to his music this weekend, you know, I'm like, I can't believe he's gone, you know?
I know. It's sad, dude. It's sad. But, hey, I want to let you guys know, you're talking about, you know, music the other day about Tom Petty. He had a surf band he put together called the Blue Stingrays.
Oh, really?
Back in the late 90s, it was him and the Heartbreakers. I'm not sure if there's any other people, but they put out one CD. It's called The Blue Stingrays. Just check it out. It's all instrumental surf music. It's great. One thing, Jimmy, you got to see Sound City, the documentary.
I did see that. Yeah, I didn't see it yet. Yeah. You're right.
You know what the cool thing about Tom Petty is he got back together with his buddies from high school, the band Mudcrutch, which is where he started. And, of course, they weren't doing anything. And he went back and got those guys back together and did another album, which I thought was pretty cool. Hey, yeah, thanks for calling, JJ.
Thanks, JJ.
See you, buddy. 407-916-1041.
Informative caller right there.
Yeah, he knew it all.
Had information, hit on all cylinders.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey. Oh,
what is this? Hold on for 1 second, Daniel.
Is this the Band Sharks or whatever?
The Blue Stingrays?
The Blue Stingrays?
The Band Sharks?
I don't know. I got the...
There you go. That's the Blue Stingrays.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like the Ventures.
It sounds like copyright-free music that you play when you're talking about it. Sub at Wawa. It's summertime.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know every Petty song. I heard a bunch of new stuff.
So you know every Kiss song, and you can say the name of the song? Oh, you wrote all those Kiss songs.
Yeah, I'm obsessive, man. I'm stupidly obsessive about that, man.
Even some of my favorite songs, I couldn't tell you the title of the song.
Really?
Yeah, it's like track 4. Like, a lot of my songs are like that.
Same here.
Yeah.
For Zeppelin, for many, many years, I'd hear the song. I'm like, I love that tune. I could not name the song.
Yeah.
And I don't know the lyrics. And that was one thing Bubba and I had in common back in the day, is he was the same way. He was like, I just listen to the music. I love the music, and if the lyric kind of catch me, I'll sing it or whatever. But for the most part, I just love the way the music moves.
Man, I'm pretty good remembering scripts. I can remember full, you know, plays and everything. Lyrics? I'm horrible at lyrics. Songs that I've listened to for 10, you know, 20, and I still mess up the lyrics.
See, right. I'm a lyric guy. Like, the lyrics are important for me in my music.
I love them, but I just don't remember them that well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, there were a couple songs this weekend. I'm like, okay, I want to listen to that again and try to figure out. Oh, it was a Refugee. Like, I'd never really listened to the words to try to figure out what he was talking about. And when you listen to it and you think about it, you're like, oh, okay, I get it now. But there are a lot of songs you just sing the words to, and you're not thinking about the meaning behind it.
I don't know what Refuge is.
I didn't really understand it until I really paid attention. Is this Daniel? Hello?
Hey, it's me. I got hung up on.
Hey, man. Yeah, you're on Real Radio. What's up, Daniel?
Oh, no, it's you. Hey, what's up, Ross? How you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
Long time. I've never spoken to you before. I've been a listener since way back in the day, like, you know, the Daniel and Mandy.
Yeah, oh, that's before. Yeah.
Oh, man. I grew up, I moved here when I was like 8 years old. So I started listening to you guys when I was a little kid. Now, I was a little kid, and so this, I want to say this first of all. When I was a little kid, I would stay up late and listen to your guys' Christmas Carol.
Oh, right.
Oh, Real Radio.
I think they played it this year, didn't they? They played the Real Radio Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve.
I don't know.
I think Jack did, yeah.
Oh, I would have loved that. I didn't know that.
You can probably find it on YouTube as well.
Yeah, okay. I might check that out because I was there at the last one that you guys did.
Yeah.
You know what? That meant a lot to me because I work with my dad. You know, I do like construction work and stuff.
Right.
So, and I work with my dad. You don't, when you work together, you don't get to do anything outside of work together a lot of the time because you spend so much time together.
Sure.
That you don't, and you know. So getting to go see the Christmas Carol at that last performance you guys did and sitting up the front row and like
Now, you were the guy in the front row yelling stuff out. Where I think that's what happened for the very last one. There were people that were yelling stuff and, like, heckling a little bit.
No, it seems like he had a touching moment with his dad that he never got to hang out with him. Is that what happened?
No, this I wasn't heckling.
I just kept
Dad. Yeah, no, it seems like you were having a touching moment with your construction dad. That's what it sounded like you were going down the road.
We were just hanging out. But, yeah, we were right behind Moira's family.
Yeah.
In the front row. And no, I hope I wasn't the one that caused anything. Like,
no, there
was sound like a troublemaker.
There was somebody, and Jim Phillips was like, "That's it. We're done." But
that's what ended it.
Yeah,
for people who don't know, explain what we're even talking about.
It was somebody's girlfriend.
Oh, it was.
We did the Real Radio Christmas Carol, and every year the entire radio station would get together, and we would do it's like a radio play of a Christmas Carol, and we would all get together. It was really the one time that everyone from the radio station got to hang out.
Hard Rock Live.
It was at Hard Rock Live, and it was a very, very cool event, and we would always grumble about doing it, but then when we do it, we're like, man, that was a lot of fun.
Greatest thing you guys have done.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty cool. But Jim, I remember that one year we had someone heckling, and Jim Phillips was like, "We're done. That's it.
Yeah.
Everybody's drinking too much," and it was.
I don't want to take anybody's time.
Yeah,
I think he also
something like this. Cabin boy, you got a hot ass.
Is that what happened?
His girl got a little apey.
She got not trying to blow up your spot, Cabin. Sorry.
Yeah, no,
that
no,
was
no.
years I'm, ago.
That was years back. Yeah, yeah.
There's no documented proof of that.
I think Jim actually started feeling bad about the time it took out of people's lives because it was the. You know, the month of Christmas. It usually happened a couple weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. I just feel bad. All these people coming up here to do this. I'm asking that at their time.
He didn't feel that bad. It was the people being mouthy that really annoyed him.
That's what I remember, the mouthy. And you know what? We all would kind of grumble and mumble about it, but we knew our lines because I was the same person the entire. I was always,
Cratchit.
Cratchit's, the old
Bob Cratchit. Right?
Old Bob Cratchit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had the same lines. I only screwed him up once.
I was Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come.
I think I said Christmas only comes twice a year, which was, it was supposed to be once a year.
No.
Kind of blew that one, but anyway. All right, when we come back, if you love Shark Week, we got a guy that he's been on Naked and Afraid a couple times, and this coming week he's going to be on Naked and Afraid Shark Week, and we're going to talk to Stephen Lee Hall when we come back. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Oh, it's a big week for a lot of people. If you love Shark Week, this is the week. And we got a guy that's here that we've talked to before. What's that right over there? Over there, Steven, yeah. Welcome back to the Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Ryan Holmes here today, and
This guy.
Stephen Lee Hall Jr., who lives here in Orlando, and we talked to you some time ago.
Yeah.
And you told us about the experience about being on with Naked and Afraid.
Yep.
And when we talked to you before, you had told us a story about when you went to Alabama and you did one of the episodes, right?
Yeah, 21 Days in Alabama, yep.
And then you were going
let's face it, in a city, that would be an accomplishment.
Yeah. you were going from that to another thing that was a bit longer. Now, Is that what we're going to be able to see this week, or was that another?
Well, I did 21 days in Alabama, and then I did 40 days in South Africa.
That's the one. Okay. Yeah.
40 days in South Africa, which was nuts. Lost like 50 pounds. It was crazy. And this one is 14 days on the most shark-infested island on the planet.
Yeah, sent me a nice little clip, and I should put it on the website here.
Sure.
But that clip is it seems like there's six of you or eight of you.
There's five of us. Five of us, 14 days.
14 days.
And literally, it was absolutely insane. It was incredible.
And you're saying this island, there are more sharks around this island than anywhere else in the world?
In the entire world, it's actually it's like almost like a breeding center for over 40 different species.
All right.
So, I mean, you got tigers, you got hammerheads, you got bull sharks, reef sharks, nurse sharks, not to mention eels, all that stuff.
At least two of those are pretty aggressive.
Like
bull sharks and tiger sharks are pretty aggressive, right?
Yeah, but nurse sharks and hammerheads won't pass.
Yeah, that is true.
So, Steven, okay, so when they pitch this to you, and like you've done two other shows, and it was tough, it was negative, and you told us that it's not like you made millions of dollars.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
So they're going to pitch you now to go to this island where there are the most sharks in the world.
Yeah.
How do they talk you into it, or how do they say it to you that makes you go, hey, that sounds great?
They really didn't have to say a whole lot. Like, honestly, yeah. I'm a glutton for punishment. I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
To be able to go out and go on these adventures on incredible places around the planet.
Uh-huh. That's a short call list, isn't it, dude?
Dude, it's awesome.
That's music to a producer's ear.
Jimmy, they're like, that damn Steven will do this. Right, let's give him a call.
That guy lives with his wiener out, and he's super happy about it. How do you monetize this, though? I mean, that's a good question. Russ brings up a good point. I mean, you know, we know that the fees for this aren't that much. I mean, exposure is great, but have you figured out a way to monetize it and make it worth your time?
Well, you know, the thing is I love it. I'm an artist, too, so the promotion, the exposure, for an artist, no pun on the exposure. The exposure for the artist to be able to be on television and go out and I love my art and
what
I love
art
the outdoors.
Do you do?
I do my own thing. I do mainly. I work with acrylics.
He does really cool paintings, portraits.
All sorts of stuff.
A lot of bars downtown have his work.
Several.
Send me some of your stuff. I'll put it on our website.
Absolutely.
I would love to help you out that way.
You may recognize dogs playing
without
poker.
Without a doubt.
so they say, listen, we're going to send you with five other people. You got to be naked, right?
Yeah, naked the whole time.
But you don't care about that. No big deal.
It's just another day.
How many guys, how many girls on this one?
Let's see. It's this guy, Chris Fisher, Ryan Holt, and then two girls, Eva and Kai Ferguson. They're all stars. Everybody's done the 40-day challenge and the 21-day challenge. So it's literally a mashup of the best of the best. So it's
five people.
For real.
It's not, you know, not an even number, odd number. And you got two females, three men.
Yep.
Was that done on purpose to see how people would pair up or how?
You know what? I don't know, because this was a whole different concept. I mean, the reason we were only out there 14 days is because it was such a dangerous environment. I mean, between, you know, the natural predators, the sharks, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's in the middle of the Caribbean. So the weather, the bugs, I mean, the weather changes on a dime. You literally felt like a pirate out there. It was ridiculous.
What I've learned from watching Naked and Afraid is that the bugs and the mosquitoes, probably the number one biggest problem. Is that true?
It is absolutely terrible. It is without a joke. Most of this island we were on was actually like salt marsh. For the first couple days, it's okay. But then all the sand flies came out.
Those are the worst.
I'll tell you what, dude. It is. Oh, yeah. If anybody from Florida
just
who's
the
been
worst.
Was, they know what's. And man, once they bloom, it is the worst of the worst.
So the only food source is in the ocean. And in the ocean, you have sharks. Is that the idea?
No, absolutely. Like, literally, you could sit on the beach and see the fins of sharks just going right down.
Well, then.
It was the most. It's somebody who's been all around the world, been in many different oceans, islands. I have never seen such a massive population of sharks in my entire life.
Like, the concentration's pretty insane.
Oh,
right?
It is absurd, dude. It is absolutely surreal.
So to get food, what's the thought process? Like, a couple of you have to go out and guard one guy who is trying to get the fish? Does it come down like that? Like, how do you decide who's going to go in and try to get food?
And you got to do, it's a team effort for sure, especially when there's that amount of predators around you at all times. You know, we're out there, we're spearfishing, we're swimming around. As soon as you catch a fish, with this majority of sharks in the water, they feel the vibration. They see the fish in panic, and then all of them come.
It's
in like 5 minutes, you turn around and you're surrounded by like 12, 6 to 10 foot reef sharks. It's totally insane.
I just saw a show about sharks that hunt in groups. Is this the area where they're at, where they hunt in groups?
Absolutely. Well, they're different species. Mm-hmm. Like, especially a lot of the juveniles will hunt in groups. A lot of the reef sharks will hunt in groups because they're in these confined areas. But then you also have these lone giant hammerheads and these monster tiger sharks and just these literal prehistoric beasts that come out of the shadows. And I mean, you're out there, you're in the ocean, you're in the middle of nowhere, and you are not the top predator. And it's, you find it out real quick.
Yeah. How close did you get to getting bit? I guess you can't talk about some stuff.
Well,
right?
I'll tell you what, there's no shortage of awesomeness in this.
Oh my God.
By far the coolest, most dangerous, intense naked and afraid to date.
Look behind you, Carter. You can see this is the area that he's talking about. And it's what's it called? This is
Naked and Afraid of Sharks. It's going to be on July 29th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Discovery.
Now, it looks beautiful. The place where you're at, it looks beautiful. But
I'm a handsome guy.
Yeah, got some gams.
Well,
on
I'll tell you one thing.
Steven,
I've learned.
Do they fly you out for that, or like how do you get to such a remote location?
Well, what they do is so they flew me out, and I flew into Nassau. And then I took these two tiny, like, puddle jumper airplanes to dirt runways on islands in the middle of nowhere, and then literally got on a boat for about 2 hours to our deserted island location. So it's a process, dude. Whenever they take you out in the middle of nowhere, it is literally in the middle of nowhere. There's over 700 islands in the Bahamas. I think, like, 20 of them are populated.
Right. I've never seen the show, any of them. So how do you get, I mean, do you get palm trees and you tie them around your
Dude, once you're out there and you can't make a pair of Nikes out of bamboo. I don't care what anybody says. You can go out there and try to make clothes and whatnot, but honestly, your best bet, shelter, water, fire, food. Shelter is your number one, priority, especially in a situation like that on a deserted island.
I'm making palm tree clothes because it looks too much like a fishing lure.
Palm tree.
So basically, you just stay naked. You just walk. So it's safe.
Dude,
it's
naked and barefoot, 24/7.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
Now it says five of the best. So these are five people that have done very, very well on Naked and Afraid.
Absolutely. Yeah. These are all stars.
So when you're all star like that, then they know how to get along with people, right? Like, did you have?
Yeah. Did you get along with these guys? Because the last group you were with, there was a little.
Little riff,
yeah.
Little bit of drama. Like I said, I don't want to tell you too much about this.
Okay.
But we're all pros. We've all done this before, so it's kind of different. When a group of people like that who have gone through this before, you know what the hunger's going to be like. You know what the heat's going to be like. You know you're going to be cold. You're going to be wet. And after you've done it a time or two, you kind of realize how to deal with those emotions and situations better, especially when you're with a group of alphas with chip on their shoulders and something to prove.
Now, did you find that any of the other guys, because they've all watched all the shows probably, so did any of them already have like a thing against you because you were sort of an antagonist?
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
No, honestly, dude, I might sound kind of arrogant and cocky, but it's all confidence, man. And I'm out there. I'm a team player, dude.
Right.
I'm out there, the whole point of Naked and Afraid is to accomplish something amazing with a group of people that you've never met before. I think that is the purpose of the whole thing. So you need to go out there with a positive attitude, and you got to have each other's back. You're going to have rough days. It always gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
It's just you got to have that mental positive attitude is really what can get you through a survival situation like this.
With us now is Stephen Lee Hall Jr. He's going to be on Naked and Afraid of Sharks.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Are you anticipating that more people are going to see this because it's part of Shark Week than all Naked and Afraid before, because Shark Week has a life of its own. People that normally don't watch this channel are going to watch for Shark
100%.
Week.
Like Shark Week is, I mean, 30th anniversary. I mean, I remember when I was like, eight, and I would like take notes and like have tapes in my VCR recording like the first like Shark Weeks and stuff. So this is a global thing, man.
Oh,
like,
totally.
I mean, look at all the advertising that has sharks within it. And people
Shaquille O'Neal involved.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely ridiculous. So to be a part of something so epic.
Yeah, it's great.
Dude, like this was honestly like a dream come true to me. I got to be on the 30th anniversary of Shark Week. That's like the total coolest thing on the planet, in my book.
And is the goal to be able to sell more art? Do you think you will actually see more art sales because of this?
And I absolutely will. But the goal, honestly, for me is just to live life and go on these adventures. I feel like I've been given a responsibility to be an inspiration, and I have.
You just
got to do it naked and starving and hunt animals with sticks and sleep naked in the dirt. But somebody's got to do it.
Yes, right? Ryan Holmes, question for Stephen, who will be on Shark Week this week, right?
July 29th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah.
Stephen, man, you're doing it all, man. 21 days, 40 days, now 14 with sharks. What are you actually afraid of? You have to have something, man.
Dude, you know what? I tell you what, there's really not a whole lot of things that I'm not a big fan of spiders.
Yeah.
I deal with them. But, I'd say after sleeping in the dirt, especially in Africa and Alabama, having them crawl all over you, you kind of get over it real quick. But pretty much, man, nothing scares me, dude.
Texting service is checking in, Stephen. They want to ask you a couple things.
Yeah,
at 77031. Just save that as our radio text. All the shows, we absolutely love it. Did you fatten yourself up
before you went out for the challenges that weren't the Shark Week ones? In other words, you knew you're going to be without food for a little while. You knew it was going to be tough to come upon. I mean, you've seen this show. Obviously, snakes seem to be the primary food.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a theory about that as well. But
What's your theory?
Did you do that?
Yeah, you got, you know, before you prep for any of these, it's honestly an athletic thing. Like I hit the gym, I eat right. You can't just eat 7 sticks of butter and then go out and be good to go. So it's about putting on like the proper weight, but it's about conditioning and stuff too. What I've learned is the more difficult I make my life here in first world, you know, when I can go home and take a shower and sleep in my bed, the easier my life's going to be when I'm out there, when I'm covered in bugs and spiders and cold and wet and hungry.
The theory is the reason they kill snakes is because on television, no one's going to freak out about killing a snake as opposed to, let's say, an animal they may have like sympathy for or something like that.
So absolutely, nobody wants to see anybody kill an otter.
Right?
The amount of hate mail I would get would be ridiculous.
But they don't show a lot of... So you guys kill other mammals and things like that. But
wherever we go, we have to stick to the regulations of the area, no matter where it is.
So what would that be like?
It's not like we could just go out and kill something that's not in season.
Right.
No matter where you are. That's just part of the... That's just how it works.
I'm glad they don't bend the rules for the whole show.
Absolutely not. One of the main reasons we eat a lot of snakes out there is because they're super easy to catch and super easy to clean.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally takes 5 minutes to gut and skin a snake, and then you put it on the spick, and you're good to go.
Yeah. I was watching one of those shows this weekend, and they were catching puffin. Those cute little birds.
Whoa!
And they were eating the puffin.
No, you can't be doing that.
I would eat it feathers on.
Which faces of death were you watching?
It was one of those shows where they were eating puffin from Iceland.
Were they Russians?
I see that with a giant net.
Yeah.
They just go out and just swoop.
What you do is you take mallets, you brush past my puffin's face in.
Also, there's something very interesting that happens. So let's say you catch, you haven't eaten in 3, 4, 5, 8 days, whatever the case may be. And inevitably, you see them catch something, cook it, and when they eat it, it looks orgasmic. It looks like they're eating the best dry-aged USDA prime steak. Covered in a compound butter you've ever seen.
It's absolutely incredible. You feel your body absorb the sugars, the amino acids, the fats. Your brain, especially, I think I went about 8 days in Africa without eating.
No.
Oh, my God. 8 days, yeah. Yeah, I lost almost 50 pounds in Africa. It was nuts. Dude. It's no joke.
With us here is Stephen Lee Hall Jr. Now, we're going to come back.
Yeah,
a lot of people have questions for you. He's going to be on Naked and Afraid of Sharks this week. It's this Sunday, July 29th. He's been on Naked and Afraid several times before, and a lot of people have questions. You can text your questions to 77031, and we'll try to get those out to you. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Okay, Stephen. By the way, here with us today is Stephen Lee Hall Jr. He's going to be on Naked and Afraid of Sharks on Shark Week on Discovery Channel, which is a big deal. We got one guy here who's like, oh, I bet he says he's not afraid of nothing. I bet he's afraid of a black mamba snake.
Yeah, I bet you are.
I bet you are.
A black mamba snake. You know what? I think that's like my only hater. So, I mean, if he wants to come down here and tell me a person, that's fine with me.
Stephen. Ghosts? Anything? Supernatural?
I'm telling you, dude. There's nothing, man. Like I said, I don't like spiders. I'm not a fan. All right. But I mean
it's really
them.
Easy. Just watch the footage.
I've documented it for days over here.
I've been on 3 different shows. Watch any of that.
Yeah, he is in the water, and they're saying this is the most shark-infested place in the world.
On the planet.
That's on the planet. And from what I saw, there's a lot in it. Now, how come there are so many in that particular area? Did they tell you?
Well, it's a...
weather.
The island is set up. It's in a perfect spot where a lot of the currents, the main currents kind of go through that. So a lot of sharks use those currents when they travel to follow food and to follow fish migrations and that kind of stuff. So this is like between the weather, the water temperature, and the amount of food sources there.
Yeah.
It's a total prime time location.
And Stephen, this is not like a competition like Survivor. Like you're out there with 5 people, so you're there to help each other. You're not trying to last longer than the other people, are you?
No. This is a team effort. It should be a team effort is what Naked and Afraid is. You know, you go out there, you're literally taking on the impossible. And you're doing it with people with the same attitude as you are, you know, and that you have. So, you know, in my mind, the whole goal of this is to go out there with a bunch of strangers and literally accomplish something amazing. And I feel like if people had that mindset on a lot of previous episodes, they probably would have gotten, you know, further than like 4 or 5 days. Further.
Yes, Angel, question for Steven, who will be on, like I say, it's July 29th, it's Sunday, naked and afraid of sharks.
So like I said, this is the third time you've been on one of these programs.
Oh, yeah.
Do you develop or is there a different skill set that you learn or develop for each one of the shows, or you kind of just see how it comes to you?
You know, I have like just a super well-rounded aspect and knowledge of survival and that kind of stuff. But every environment is completely different. I mean, you got to think between the weather, the plant life, the animals, every situation is different. So you kind of have to go in and you really kind of have to go on with the flow and kind of make decisions on the fly out there. You know, one thing about survival is you really can't plan it. So if you think you're going to plan out your week and you're going to go get firewood and you're going to go get food this day and water,
it's not like
that. Work that way. You wake up and then it's a torrential downpour for 4 days. And, you know, you're hypothermic. You have no dry wood. You can't start a fire. And or let's say just the food's not around. You know, you've had too much presence in an area. You got to go trek 5-10 miles to go find another food source.
Is that the common misconception, is that it's easier than it looks, or you're not planning out your time right? Or when you meet people, what do they say? Hey, you should have done this.
The couch survivalists, those are the ones. That's why I literally say, you know, people say, why do nobody ever make shoes? You need to go. Dude, go in your backyard and make a pair of shoes. I'm telling you, walk around.
It's hard to do, huh?
It ain't going to happen, dude. It ain't going to happen.
Hey, on an island like that, how do you find a fresh water source? Like, what do you do for water?
Well, a lot of these islands have aquifers and springs underneath the island. So when the tide actually rises, it pushes up that fresh water on the aquifer through that all that limestone that these islands are made out of.
Right.
Completely purifies it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
finding water wasn't hard for
finding water. Well, we had to find the hole first.
Yeah.
Which is always difficult.
Easy.
But yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I hear you. With the amount of rain in the Caribbean too is almost a daily situation. So,
yeah.
You know, as long as you have your resources, as long as you do what you need to do, you're going to get the job done.
Of course, you know, they throw in the naked part to make it more appealing to people going, oh my God, I can't believe they're naked. But I mean, it would be just as hard if you had on a pair of shorts whether you're naked, right?
It would be totally just as hard. The worst
same
part
thing,
is not having shoes, man. I mean, I'm telling you.
Not having shoes.
Like, no matter where you go, you can try and like train your feet. People like walk on like lava rocks and stuff. Listen, man, if you don't walk barefoot like a native everywhere,
right,
you ain't gonna have a field day out there.
Our very intelligent texting service wanted serious things like, you know, what do you do about Morden Wood? Morden Wood's a problem, isn't it?
Well, and you know, that is honestly one of the most popular questions I get all the
morning
time.
Wood, really?
Morning, it's not even from the show. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So honestly, your libido completely turns
crashes
off out there.
Yeah.
You go into survival, primal, animal mode.
So worrying about the other two girls and they're naked women when you don't even think about it.
Initially, when you get in, when you meet everybody naked, you do the initial up down.
You're
a human being.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And then literally, you're like, I need food. We need shelter. We need to find water. And
look at animals
almost,
in the wild.
Honestly, it's even more weird when you're with these people afterward and they're wearing clothes.
Oh, really?
The weirdest thing ever, dude.
Why?
I can't even. It's like, I don't know. You can honestly gauge somebody's personality from what they wear and like how they carry themselves.
Right.
So when the first time you've met these people and they're completely naked, they have clothes on now, it's like, oh my God.
You see them entirely different, of course.
Totally
different,
dude.
Interesting.
I never would have thought about it that way.
That's why I'm glad
true.
You came in here nude.
I try to go everywhere, dude, but you know, it's certain restrictions.
Yeah, but you know, the whole libido thing makes sense, because if you look at all wild animals, what do they do before they go into hibernation or make love? They get fat,
Know,
in order to have fat to be able to provide for their youngins.
Plus, you're gross. After an hour and a half out there,
imagine.
You're disgusting, man.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to touch anything
Sex
out there.
Sex is not what you're thinking about.
No.
Angel, question from the Texas service?
Yeah, these idiots. okay. And I say that respectfully, guys. Yeah. I understand that. I love each and one of you, except for that one guy.
Yeah,
with the pauses and everything.
Yeah.
Every night at the end of production, do they whisk you up, take you a shower, and put you in a nice hotel?
Oh God, man, that would be a whole different show. Literally,
you wish,
When production leaves, we are alone. We have a diary camera and firewood.
That's it.
And that is it. And we went and got our own firewood. The most one of the favorite things about this show for me is None of the camera guys, audio guys, any of the PAs, nobody's allowed to talk to us during filming.
That's actually
it's a documentary.
It's not scripted.
No, not at all. No,
you can't script
them. You don't know their names. You don't know these people.
The only time that they are allowed to talk to us is when we are being interviewed from the producer. That's it. They are not allowed to eat in front of us. They're not allowed to drink in front of us.
They should.
They're not even allowed to smoke cigarettes beforehand because we'll be able to smell it. Right. So it is literally... Like, they're just shadows. It's a documentary, man.
So, Steve, do you think to yourself, okay, listen, I'm going to be on Shark Week. I'm going to be on Naked and Afraid. I'm going to get five other people. If I do something a little wild, I'll get more attention, which will mean, you know, I'm the star of this show. So I might try to hook up with one of these girls. Do you think that way? Like, hey, if I hook up with one of these chicks, I'll be more popular.
Maybe if I do a badass helicopter, listen, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look at me. Go around.
I'm a good old Southern boy, man. I'm a gentleman. There is no way I would disrespect a woman out there and do something like that on national television. Plus, I make my own thunder, man. I'm Thor. I don't need to go out there and toot my own horn.
What about a show called Naked and Afraid of Sharks and Black Mambas?
Yeah, you would never do it. I bet you would.
Yes, Angel.
Steven, do you find, okay, so you've done, the first show was how many days?
21 days in Alabama.
40 in Africa.
40 in Africa.
14 now. 14. So when you come back from one of these experiences, do you find that your senses are like at an, just like a 10? Like you smell differently, you taste differently?
It's literally everything you smell and taste is like you tasted it for the first time. Like,
really?
Coming back after, especially like after 40 days in Africa, and like Ranch Doritos.
That's my favorite
blew
Toto
my
song.
Mind. the amount of flavors and salts and sugars and oils in one Dorito is legitimately mind blowing.
Hey, so,
I'm not even kidding.
That's really
it's
funny.
Euphoric, dude. It is.
I don't know if you have a girlfriend or anything. Are there groupies?
A ton of groupies. I'm a single guy. There's a ton of groupies, man. People love Naked and Afraid, man, and they love me too, and I'm super thankful for that.
You can tell, man.
My family and my friends and all the support that I get from all these amazing people around the world,
yeah,
dude, totally just gives me that extra push to go out there and want to do more.
Honestly, Steven, you seem like the perfect guy for this competition. I mean, if I were to create a person for this gig, I'd be like,
that's what
I love to do.
So, yeah. Steven, you've had Alabama. You've had Africa, and then you've had the Caribbean, where there's the most sharks in the world. Ooh. Out of the three, which was the most difficult?
Honestly, this 14-day challenge was by far the most difficult one.
Wow. Was it really?
And which is, it's hard to think, you know, because I mean, 40 days is a long time. In Africa, I'd say Africa was incredible. But the amount of challenges we had to overcome on this adventure are surmountable.
Is the 40 days the max? Is that what you go for?
40 days is the max. It's called the Naked and Afraid XL. So you do like a 21 day, and then they amped it up. They're like, oh, let's see if we can do 40 days. So only four of us out of 12 made it out of the
40 days. Wow, nice.
Yes, Angel.
All right, so you've done all these like tropical places. Would you do something in the cold?
They've never done one of the cold.
Nobody wants to see shrinkage.
Hypothermia will kill you faster than a lion.
I watched Titanic.
And dude, it's real.
She should have just bumped over a little bit. Yeah, get on.
A little rude in my opinion. I mean, there's plenty of room on that door.
Yeah, come on.
But some of the desert shows, they represent it that when the sun goes down, even though it's 100 degrees during the day, when the sun goes down, it gets into the 50s. And 50s naked is really, really cold. I wanted to ask something else. When you have a partner that's a female, we've seen this happen when the girl's kind of not like put off, I mean, but you know, part of when it gets cold in those desert shows is the body heat thing. You got to kind of get together to kind of maintain some body heat. And some of those chicks just will not do it.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be an issue.
When I was in Alabama, it got down into the low 50s, high 40s, and it was raining. I mean, hypothermia was a real thing. I was with my partner, Shalice, and she was a rock star. And honestly, body heat is what kept us alive that night.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, it's Naked and Afraid of Sharks.
This Sunday.
This coming Sunday, July 29th. Steven, thank you for calling
me.
No problem, man. Anytime you got something going on, let me know. And send me some stuff with your art. I'll put it on our website.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate you coming in.
Dude, anytime. Dude, I love being here. I love talking to y'all.
Thank you, buddy. Welcome. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, in about 10 minutes or so, go to our website, monsters.fm. See if your name is one of the Daily Five. If you're there, well, you can be at Universal Studios with us for the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. So that's coming up in like 5 or 10 minutes on our website at monsters.fm. See if your name is one of the names on the Daily Five. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Well, I know that I'm a-
must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
Real Radio 104.1. Real Radio 104.1.
All right, it's 9 o'clock. Go to the website, Monsters.fm. See if your name is one of the Daily Five. If it is, you're invited to come with us for the Monster Fan Appreciation Show at Universal Studios. It will be awesome. It's on August the 4th. Universal Studios, they're giving us 100 tickets to give out. They never do that with anyone else. They did it for the Monsters. We appreciate that. We're going to go ride the rides. We're going to go to the Monster Cafe and have lunch. I'm going to end up at that Irish bar. I guarantee it.
I specifically did not go to the horror makeup show this past weekend or when I went to Universal with my daughter.
Yeah.
Because I want to go with the listeners.
Yeah.
I want to pack the whole stage show there.
That's a funny show. It's good, yeah.
And then we'll do Fast and Furious, and we'll do Kong, and it's going to be a great day.
Looking forward to it. Now is the time to go to the website at monsters.fm and see if your name is one of the Daily Five. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Ryan Holmes here, and now it's time for Deborah Roberts to bring us the real news. What's going on in the real news? Deborah, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Oh. It was too short, as it always
too
is.
Too short? Yeah.
Womp womp. Monday's such a bitch. She shows up so early.
She's never late.
Mm-hmm. She's never late?
Never late. Always early.
Always on time.
Yeah.
How was your weekend? Where were you yesterday?
Wonderful. I went to Birmingham, Alabama, because I promised these listeners that if they sent me an invitation, I would go to their wedding.
I heard about that.
And my wife and I drove to Birmingham, Alabama, and it was a great experience.
Was it really?
I loved it. Birmingham is beautiful. It was so nice of them to invite us to the wedding, and they made the they did a little line and something that I say every morning. I don't know if you probably don't live every morning. I always say you wanted the best, you got the best. I've been saying that for years.
Wow.
I stole that from Kiss. Like,
just so you know, I haven't heard it because I've been on the air at the same time. Yeah. So it's.
But so as the when they were ready to announce that they were man and wife, the preacher says, "Ladies and gentlemen, you wanted the best, you got the best. It's Justin and Lacey."
And
he gave me like a wink, like I did that for you, you know, which was pretty cool. But yeah, it was a great time. And but I didn't watch a whole lot of news over the weekend. The one thing I did see, and I want to ask you about it,
lucky boy,
the Stand Your Ground video. Is one of the most it's horrible.
Yeah.
And if they don't overturn that, or that should not be the definition of stand your ground.
No.
Those of you haven't seen it, this guy comes out and pushes the guy on the ground. And when he pushes the guy on the ground, the guy pulls out a gun. When he pulls out the gun, the guy who pushed him on the ground starts to back up. He's not going towards him. He's like, "Whoa, you got a gun." He's backing up. And then he just shoots the guy as he's backing up. That's not stand your ground. That's
why'd the guy push him down?
Here's what happened. This guy and his wife and a child, they parked in handicap parking. Okay, douchebag, shouldn't do that. I get that. But he goes in to get some candy or whatever in the store, and the man, the white dude out there, starts yelling at her, "Why are you in the handicap parking? You're not supposed to be in handicap parking." Putting his nose in where he shouldn't be putting his nose in. Mind your own business. If the police want to give you a ticket, let the police give you a ticket.
Hey,
it's not your job to
do it. How many guys do you know that would see a full-grown man walking up to their wife and their child in their car? And they're not going to immediately come back out of the store and say, "Yo, what are you going up to my family for?"
So this guy's yelling at the woman, and so guy comes out and pushes it, like, "Hey, yell at my wife."
Get my car.
Pushes him down. When he hits the ground, guy pulls out his gun. As soon as he pulls out his gun, the guy starts backing up, like, "Oh, he's got a gun." Shoots a guy in the chest. And you know what was...
Kills him?
He ended up stumbling inside the convenience store and ended up collapsing in front of his girlfriend's 5-year-old son.
But he died, right?
Yeah. Yes, he did die.
Yeah, he died. So
tragic.
So very tragic, and that should not be the definition of stand your ground.
Well, and that's why there's a renewed push to change stand your ground so that, you know, if you've started to retreat, because I believe the way the law is now, even if you start to retreat, that person still has the right to use lethal force.
That's a terrible precedent
so
all around.
It really is, because, and my issue with this is that if you talk to the gas station owner, the guy who shot is a regular who's always looking to pick fights with people over various different issues.
Yeah, and put his nose in where it doesn't belong.
Like a George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
You get an ego with a gun, and this is where you end up with what I would... Looked like straight up murder to me.
Yes, I mean, I would agree 100%.
And has he been acquitted, or the trial's already gone through?
No, there was no trial. Oh, okay. The police decided not to arrest and charge him
because they're still reviewing it.
Well, because they decided not to charge him, that means they've sent the case over to the state attorney's office, which is now going to make the decision of whether or not this meets the criteria of the Stand Your Ground law,
yeah,
and whether or not this guy should be facing charges. But to hear the gas station owner, this was not just a simple altercation that got out of hand. This is a guy who shows up on a regular basis
and does it all the time,
looking to engage people in arguments and fights, knowing he's got a gun in his waistband.
Coward.
Just out of curiosity, what should he have done after being, after being assaulted? Because the guy did push him down, assaulted him, right?
Yeah.
Call the cops.
Just call the cops.
No, call the cops. Because the cops.
First,
as soon
he should have been involved in the first place. Well, none of his business to tell somebody to get out of a
fine.
That's a fine. That's something the police handle.
And have your gun. Pull out your gun. Don't necessarily shoot. To shoot him. The guy's backing up. You have your gun. You got it out. Good for you. But I saw this video and I cried. It hurt to see something like that.
No.
Getting pushed is not worth getting shot.
Parking spot you weren't even looking to park your car in. This guy wasn't handicapped and he wasn't being, his nose wasn't out of joint because he couldn't park his car there. The parking lot was empty.
He's
a nosy punk with a gun.
So here's the thing. If he pushed him down, Jimmy, and the guy is still coming at him, I would say, okay, I get it. You're afraid you're going to get beat up further. I get it. But this guy starts backing up. As soon as the guy pulls the gun,
he's trying to retreat back inside the store.
He's like, okay, you got a gun. I'm going to go away. And he shoots him anyway. That is not stand your ground. That's crazy.
And this happened here in Florida?
Clearwater.
Clearwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch the video. If you haven't seen the video yet.
I'm watching it now.
Yeah,
I saw it. I didn't want to look at it. It bums me out. It makes me sad because it was also like they were trying to racially charge it as well as making it. It was like.
The guy with the gun is a white guy. The guy that pushes down is a black guy. A big black guy. I mean, a big dude.
When do you step in, right? Like, okay, so I would never go up to somebody that parked in the handicapped spot and didn't have a sticker and tell them they shouldn't be parking there. You know why? I did it once. And guess what? The guy turned around, he was like missing a leg, okay? And he just didn't happen to have. Then I was like, oh my God, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
And that was my own, foot in the mouth, whatever. But it's a fine. First off, right? It's not worth your life. These things keep popping up. A shoplifter video popped up yesterday of this guy slamming the shoplifter at like what seems to be a Walgreens into the side and holding with all his might.
Well, this is what's interesting about this is that also on the Gulf Coast, you have a convenience store owner who shot a guy who was trying to steal $36 worth of beer.
Yeah.
Okay, and he thought that he had the Stand Your Ground law on his side.
No.
But he doesn't.
No.
And now that his victim has just succumbed, this guy is looking at second-degree murder charges and being sent up the river for 25 years. Now, the disparity is, okay, how can this guy shoot and kill someone over a parking spot? It's not even their property. See, the store owner thought that, this guy's on his property, but as soon as he exited the store and ended up on public property, it was no longer his right to shoot him.
Yeah,
it's kind of a weird thing, but the irony of this entire situation is the guy who wound up bitching about the guy being in the parking space was just parked in the middle of the parking lot to go over there and tell him about his ass.
Like
that guy himself wasn't even in a parking space. He was just kind of
because he was walking around.
It's clearly defined. He came out of an SUV that was parked like in the middle of the parking lot.
Right.
Then he walked up and looked at the license plate, and then he came around and started an altercation with the female who was driving. So when he's got his finger pointing at her and she's driving, that's when the guy comes out. And he just assumes that that guy started some S with his girlfriend.
Wife.
And he doesn't really know why. He just knows that he sees a guy
yelling
pointing
his
finger and yelling at his wife. And she gets out of the car. And that's when he shoves. And then that's when the altercation happens, which I agree. I mean, you pull your weapon, you point it, and let the guy make a decision. Then you call the cops right there. I don't think shooting the guy was really necessary.
Well, when he pulled the gun, didn't you see he starts backing up?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell because they cut the video because he shoots him pretty quickly. So, but he did take a step back. That's all I saw. But he didn't put his hands up or anything. He just took a step back.
Well, I saw the video from the moment he was shot all the way into where he collapsed inside the convenience store in front of the child.
Yeah,
you can clearly see that he's like, okay, guns on the scene, and, yeah. I'm out of here.
And you mentioned something earlier, how gunshots are in real life. It's like, it's not like in the movies, like, boom, boom, and then you're like, boom, and you die. It's like, boom, what's happening? Why am I hit? Oh, my God, I'm hit.
Yeah.
I'm bleeding. Oh, I'm walking in here. It's a much more crazy
because
situation.
Your body goes into shock.
Shock, yeah.
In fact, for a lot of police officers, I had a former military police officer tell me that they were told, when you get shot, get pissed. Don't get sad. Don't get scared. Get pissed. Because that adrenaline will keep you alive.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Get pissed.
Well, this guy
gets mad.
Gets mad
as hell.
He gets shot and he holds himself like, what happened?
And he stumbles inside the convenience store.
It's not like in the movies when you fall down right away and boom, you're dead. I mean, he walks inside and I guess he passed away inside with the kid.
Right in front of him.
He actually collapsed in front of him.
Yeah.
Right, went to a knee and then the kid was right there.
For a parking spot.
That's a guy
didn't even need.
This keeps happening. This just happened in Lake Mary. The stand your ground law is very confusing on when and where it works.
Just be glad we don't have the one they have in Texas.
What's the one in Texas?
Well, I mean, because that's person and property.
Yeah.
So you can use lethal force for just.
And you just mentioned the one in Lake Mary. I question that as well because, okay, in Lake Mary, if you didn't hear the story, one guy pulls out a gun and shoots it once. And then the guy who's, we'd say you stand your ground, shoots back about 7 or 8 times. In the 7 or 8 times, he kills not only the guy that was shooting him, but accidentally kills, you know, someone that we actually know.
An innocent bystander who was just out there watching the World Cup.
Like, should you, when it comes to stand your ground, should you be allowed to just shoot 500 times and hope to hit somebody? That seems like it was excessive. Yeah. I would think that's way excessive.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, though, with this Clearwater situation because, you know, the situation was the guy was illegally parked. Really had none of the business of the guy who started that at all. None of the business of the guy at all. 100%.
Yeah.
It's really not his job to police who parks where. It really isn't. But it is weird that the first reaction of the guy. Now, I don't know what was said because there's no sound on the video. The very first reaction, rather than, hey, what's going on, was to shove the guy to the ground. That was his very first reaction.
I can imagine if someone is yelling at your wife, shaking their finger at your wife in her face.
My boyfriend wouldn't even walk up and ask any questions. Shove first, ask questions later.
That's exactly what I would do.
And that may be the case. 100%. Again, don't know what was being said.
Right.
You could tell that
it looked
like it was being said in an aggressive manner. There's no question.
Yeah.
But the very first reaction of this guy was to shove.
Yeah.
And I would
assume
to get that guy away from his girl.
And I'm not saying it's right because this is a great example of, hey, you know, you would think you're doing the right thing by shoving the guy. You're talking to my wife, I'll shove you down. Yeah. And then he's got a gun.
Yep.
And whoa, I didn't think about that. You know,
well, coming in August, they're going to be putting online blueprints to make your own 3D gun.
I saw that. That's
why anybody listening right now, don't flick people off while you're driving.
Man, I really...
Don't ride people on... Don't slam on your brakes. I've done it a million times in the past.
God.
I've almost been run off of the I-4 when I did it to the wrong person. And nowadays, people are ready to go. You ready? You want to do this to me, buddy? Let's go! Because I got a piece right now, and I'm ready to shoot your ass.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it. I'm dying to use this thing because I'm ready to go, and you're a little flicking off because the guy maybe didn't use his turn signal, or because maybe he beat you to that exit to make the right-hand turn. It ain't worth it. Just go.
I need to remember that.
I know it. That's why I'm talking to you, Deborah.
I know you are.
I'm literally
trying not
talking
to make
to
eye
you.
Contact.
I'm convinced this is going to be it's a big story now, but I think it's going to get bigger because they're using George Zimmerman again as an example of the Florida stand your ground rule.
It is. And the personality traits are so like.
They
are. You know, a guy who was not the neighborhood watch captain, it was not his job to patrol the neighborhood. It was a guy with a chip and an attitude and ego, whatever. I mean, look at how he's presented himself since he got acquitted of murder charges. He's done nothing but remind people that he knows how to take care of people who piss him off.
And I'll bet if we, you know, it would be sad to see it, but if we saw the video of what happened with Trayvon Martin, it would be just like watching this one, like, whoa, wait a minute, that kid was just... Yeah.
He's walking in the rain with Skittles and something to drink.
Arizona tea
and some Skittles, dude. Fine. You like M&M's better, girl. Okay.
But this particular video, I saw it and I said, man, I can't. I mean, as soon as he pulls the gun out, the guy takes a step backward. That's not staying your ground. If he was going towards him, I'd say, okay, you know, it wasn't your place to tell them not to park there, but He pushed you down. He's coming at you. I guess you got the right. This one, I just can't see that.
I think as more and more people, you know, see the video and talk about the story, it will continue to be a much bigger story.
I hope so.
And we're going into the midterm. So for people who don't like Stand Your Ground, you know, it might play a part. Who knows?
Totally.
In the November election or August primary, rather.
All right. Thank you, Deborah Roberts. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. On the texting service, people said, I don't see the five names on the website. Go to realradio.fm or monsters.fm, and you type in the keywords, the Daily Five. If you type in the Daily Five, you'll see five names up there, and if your name is one of them, then you very well could win those tickets for two to our August the 4th fan appreciation show, and it's going to be at Universal Studios. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, and also Ryan Holmes here today. Okay, I'm gonna tell you the the crime that was committed, and you tell me, see if you can tell me what you think the person that was arrested, what excuse they gave the police. Okay,
all right.
This is a naked man in Massachusetts was arrested for being naked and working out naked at a Planet Fitness. When the police came, what do you think his excuse was? I'll let you go first, Dirty Jim.
Oh, wow. Did not want to be restricted in any way, shape, or form while doing leg lifts.
Okay, good. What do you think? Let's go with Carlos. What do you think?
The man obviously forgot his gym clothes, had to go back to work, and did not want to be sweaty in his clothes before going back to work.
Okay. Angel, you want to take a guess at what this guy said to the police for his reason for working out naked at the Planet Fitness?
I don't know. He forgot his keys in his car.
Forgot his keys?
Clothes. I don't know.
All right. And then Ryan Holmes?
I work out at a Planet Fitness, and I know their slogan, which is...
It was you!
It's a judgment-free zone.
That's exactly... Yeah. Bingo, lollipop. That's what he said. He said, listen...
It wasn't for trivia. It wasn't even for trivia.
They advertise a judgment-free zone. That's what they say. And so he's trying to tell the police, listen, it says right there on the board, it's a judgment-free zone. I can do whatever... Can you believe someone's that stupid?
Where was his Instagram?
Wow. Wait till you see this guy's mugshot and you'll understand.
Oh, what does he look like?
Yeah, it looks exactly
like one of Manson's family.
Yeah, he looks exactly like the guy that would do that.
I thought it was a bit. I thought he was doing a sketch or something.
No, it is a judgment-free zone. Not nude, but like people work out there and they're like jean shorts and like there's not really a workout attire at the Planet Fitness.
Some roll in sandals, and that always bothers me.
Sandals. Yeah, because
that's not a good move.
I'm sure they didn't mean for that to happen when they said judgment free zone. They just meant like the people aren't going to judge you for being overweight and for, you know, so you can go and work out and be comfortable. It didn't mean you can wear whatever you want or be naked or you know.
It's not a specific slogan, Russ.
This guy looks like the bass player for System of a Down. Like he's an Armenian looking dude with a little gray in his beard. Has a bit of wild about him.
It's $1,000 fine.
Can you imagine looking at an officer's face and say, well, he said judgment free zone, I can be as naked.
Yeah,
dude,
man.
He got lucky if you only got $1,000 fine. What? I mean, that could be considered lewd and lascivious, right? I mean, you're naked in front of, it's mostly adults.
He was stretching out. It was in Massachusetts. Yeah. He was stretching out before he went to yoga class. And he was out.
Oh, nude stretching. Not a good look for anybody. No.
He was out on the mat, and people were like, this guy is naked. And he's like, hey, it's judgment free zone.
Oh, my God. Put that away.
It is weird, though. Like, it's illegal to be nude.
Right?
Like, I think about that all the time. Like, you just can't be nude. If you don't have certain pants on, you will be arrested.
Yeah, you can
be nude in public. I mean...
Yeah, but it seems like if you logically looked at society, you'd be like, of course you could be nude. Everybody's got a body. Go for it.
You're right. But, and you know what? No one will ever believe me, and I'll tell them, to listen. Because we one time, we took a bunch of monster listeners, and we went to Jamaica. And we went to Jamaica with the hedonism, and everybody's running around naked. After the first half hour or hour, you don't care anymore. It doesn't really matter. You're like, okay, they're naked, whatever. But the first half hour, you're freaking out. Like, oh, my God, everybody's naked. And we talked about the naked and afraid guy earlier. But after that first hour, it was like no big deal.
Right,
would,
yeah, yeah.
Would you not agree?
Yeah. Well, right up until that one guy stands next to you, then it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, well, we got to find somebody else to chill with.
No, I'm thankful for clothes, man. You ever see some people, and I do wonder what they look like naked. Well, you know, you're like 6 feet two, maybe 400 bills. You know, they're walking through Disney, and you're like, how are you even walking still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disney's definitely not a judgment-free zone. No. You get some weird looking people, but they're all the same looking people at like the theme parks.
Yeah.
Like people you don't normally see in everyday life, and you're like, wow, where do they hide you?
And I have a fascination with big people. I love my 600-pound life. I love giants. The human body itself fascinates me.
You know what's also fascinating, and particularly about this show, like the incarnations and different incarnations of this show. Holmes, you're in a room where two guys and one door away from where three guys have seen all of them naked.
Wait, you've all seen each other nude?
I just told you. We all went.
That story was true.
Hedonism.
Oh, I thought that was like a bit.
And so this is your you know, blood in, blood out kind of thing. You got to get naked now.
Yeah, dude.
No, I think we had 600-700 listeners with us. I mean,
So monster listeners have seen all of you new.
Like, well, some of them.
Yeah, some of about every other event. Like, some dude wearing a Dale Earnhardt shirt walk up and be like, hey, I seen your balls. And I'll be like, yeah.
Get in line. That's like no barrier between you and your fans at all.
But
right?
Literally, no. We drank so much, I don't think they remember much.
Yeah, yeah. No photographs.
I've seen Russ's and Jimmy's plenty of times.
I couldn't draw it.
I couldn't tell you if there was a little, you know, birthmark or something.
As sitting here, like, you guys do have like this chemistry. Like the other day, you said what he was thinking, and it's because you've all been nude in a room together.
No, it's because I'm not very deep. It's really easy to figure out what I'm thinking. I mean,
what you're referencing is Russ talking about olden days, and when Russ talks olden days, I know he's talking Knight's Tale. You know, so
that was the Knight's Tale reference. Yeah.
So it's easy to connect.
No, Angel, you've never been nude with all these people.
No,
but we've tried. We've tried to get him nude, and he won't do it.
he won't.
You'll never be able to look at him in his eye again.
No,
Angel's a big man.
Yeah, Angel, I'm sure he'd be very impressive. Very impressive.
Hey, this whole conversation gets weird real quick.
Yeah, well, you're the one who brought it up.
But it was funny when it was that way. Now you guys are coming this way with it. Nah.
I don't know, man. If they had the event, like 90s style monsters, would you have gotten nude at Hedonism?
Well, you know, when in Rome.
Exactly.
We all took our women with us, too.
Oh, and don't forget, when at the Glen, we also did it at the Glen. Yeah. So it was not in Rome. It was in dirty-ass, big-ass boat that we were carrying around there.
I forgot about the Glen.
We were eating crabs and jumping off the top on top of,
I don't
like,
think I got naked there. I only got it just in Jamaica.
That was the first time I ever saw a nude man was as a kid in Silver Glen.
Oh, really?
It was probably us.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, it's time for Carlos to take it to the top. You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning. Oh, it's really close. You still have time to vote for the semifinals best villain actor of all time. It's Alan Rickman against Jack Nicholson and Robert De Niro against Anthony Hopkins. And right now, Anthony Hopkins is killing De Niro.
Yeah,
it's not even close.
Killing.
But with Jack Nicholson and Alan Rickman, there's only a 1-point difference between the two.
Wow, that's tighter than I thought it would be.
So that one is really, really close. You can vote now. When you vote, you're eligible to win a $100 gift certificate to Fandango. So do that now on our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim. Ryan Holmes here with us today. Angel Rivera. And now Carlos Navarro is going to take it to the top.
Let's go. Bang! Okay, good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To The Top. Every single morning, try and take you to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. Today is no different. Today, hell's a poppin'. Rusty Ray, you weren't here yesterday.
I was not.
I protected the fort.
I manned the helm.
Did you have fun?
Stepped on the floor.
Did you hang the banner?
Walked through the door.
I swear, the very last segment, I look at Ryan, I go, damn, I didn't hang the banner.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I would have. I totally would have. But my whole thing was thrown off because my headphones weren't here because you didn't put my headphones out. And we normally have the thing. You stole the key and took it with you to Bama.
Why did you take the key? You don't trust us with the key?
You know what? I don't tell you why. Because somebody busted in there a couple weeks ago and got the key and took headphones out and then did that whole tight wrap
the wrapping
thing.
Of the headphone wires.
So I couldn't leave them in there.
Say someone we know who did it?
I don't know who did it.
You don't?
No.
C-Lane.
Oh. Damn.
Christopher.
That's professionally put on blast.
I didn't know, did it?
Touch my Oreos again, C-Lane.
Yeah. 3-2-1.
I don't forget.
3-2-1 before he walks in here. Watch.
Now. Yeah, no, we had fun, man. But I'm glad you had a good trip at Alabama.
Yeah, Birmingham was cool.
And,
was it really, though?
Yeah, like, would you go back again?
Was it really?
I would go back again when it's cooler. It was. I mean, I tell you what, man. Birmingham, Alabama, hot was hot.
Birmingham, yeah,
yeah.
But I enjoy going to. I mean, it's just a place I'd never seen before.
I didn't break into your chops. That place is cool.
Yeah.
Now look, last week we talked a little bit about 2029, the year that our human brains will be implanted into another body, and we will be able to basically download ourselves.
Thank God. Just in time for me. That's awesome.
And that's what...
I'll be cutting close around that time. I got time. I can wait. I can make it out to 2029.
Now we know why he's on a diet
again. That's why he starts a diet.
That's it. You know, most futurists, especially the leading ones that have about an 87% accuracy when they predict... are saying that in 2029 we should be good to go, right?
Good.
But just in case, because I'm hoping to make it to 2029. Mm. I want to get downloaded. I want to be, you know, I want to go into the future, infinity and beyond.
Yeah.
I just made that up to infinity and beyond.
It's great. It's a great saying.
You like that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm keeping it.
got a real buzz to it.
It's got nice. Thank you. Thank you. So in case I don't go and I'm going to fight tooth and nail to stay.
All right.
There's something I want. I don't want the regular coffin. Remember, guys, that I told you I wanted to be cremated, mm-hmm. and then I wanted to take the ashes and you sprinkle some, like, you know, different, and then you do a funeral for me where they Boyz II Men, Tupac. Right.
You don't want to do the tree thing, you don't want to be put into
Russ,
a tree.
Thank you for bringing this up.
Yeah.
The new thing to do is called burial pods.
Yeah.
Okay, and what is a burial pod? They're made from starch plastic, which does not prevent the natural decomposition of the capsule and allows the organic matter to transfer into materials that will provide the earth with nutrients for vegetative organisms, and you turn into a tree?
No.
Who's with me?
You know what?
Who's want to be the burial pod?
Out of all my choices that I can afford, that one I'm in.
Let's do a burial pod.
I'm in.
Okay.
What tree are you going to be?
Look, this is exactly. And then I'll be speaking like, Carlos was a good man. And I'm going to like pick like somebody cool to like talk about me. And I'll be like, you see that tree right there? That badass
elm.
Elm.
The one the dog's peeing on?
No. We shoot dogs on this place if they come and try and pee
near us. Stand your hound.
Carlos. Carlos always loved magnolia trees. And he will live here forever unless there's chainsaws in the future.
Yeah, right. Here.
But no. In all seriousness, you know, instead of these boring cemeteries, beautiful fields. Beautiful fields with, you know,
dead people.
With dead people.
You know, Alabama. Tombstones. Alabama's full of cemeteries. There were so many cemeteries.
A lot of cemeteries in old places.
Man.
Yeah.
I like the tree idea.
Okay, so you're
a weeping willow tree is beautiful, but it's not very strong sounding.
It's
you know?
Not, no. And I want a tree. I want a magnolia. I'm gonna do a magnolia, and then you actually lay. They take your body and they crump it up like a fetus.
It's so uncomfortable.
So if you could see me right now, I'm sitting like a dead fetus. Oh God, that sounded horrible. No, wow, I mean it's for these burial pods. Okay, mm-hmm. Jimmy, are you in? Because if we get more than three, we can get a deal.
Man, I don't know, buddy. I have plans for my ashes.
Okay.
Really do. There are a couple places on Earth I want my ashes spread.
I like Monsters in the Magnolia. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Monsters in the Magnolia. I like that. Ryan, are you in or are you out?
No, sir.
All right.
Why not?
Why?
Because I don't want to be in a tree and then, like, they tear down this tree and then all of a sudden they build a Walmart there.
They're not going to
tear
down.
And then it haunts
down
a Walmart.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you want to haunt a Walmart?
No. Walmart's already haunted by their customers.
You're out, Angel.
No.
Damn, Russ.
I'm in. Out of all the, like, I would love for them to freeze me and bring me back.
That's
but if
good
they can't
too.
Do that, it's very expensive. Be a tree would be kind of cool.
You know, well, if we make it past 2029, or make it to 2029, we don't got to worry about this. We just download our brains into a hot-ass robot body.
Like from the cloud?
Yeah. That's how it works.
I did look up that urn, the cremation urn.
Yeah, the kiss urn.
The kiss one. Too tacky for me.
It's a little too tacky. You don't want people at their very last day to say, you know what, up until this moment, I never thought Russ was tacky.
But then they would say, yeah, he died tacky.
There it is.
I can't do that, yeah.
There it is.
And then ultimate irony, somebody gives that urn to a radio show who's broadcasting at Universal.
That would be ultimate completion right there. Now. Motivational Menaces.
Hold on. Before you switch topics. I think there's somebody that has something to say. Hold on. Is this Savannah?
I want a burial pot.
Yes! I knew you would. Thank you for being there for me, girl. We are going to... What kind of tree you want to be?
I think I want to be a dogwood.
I was going to guess dogwood or beautiful palm tree.
So, okay, so you would go dogwood. You would go what?
Magnolia.
Magnolia. And I go weeping willow tree. Do those three trees, like, grow together?
Yeah, can we...
I don't think they
do. Savannah?
What?
Nothing.
I'll put in the order for you, girl, okay? Just, we got to make it till about 2029. That's what we're going for.
But I want a really pretty pot.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have the prettiest of pots, girl. Big old pot there. Big old pot.
Now, is it in a pot or do you put it in a field?
That's like the softest collection of trees ever.
Yeah. If I was going to do this, I'd be a redwood. Something that lives for 1,000 years. Yeah, but big old redwood.
Magnolias are pretty, though.
Dude, you don't even know about dogwood. Dogwood is like the biggest tree ever.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's not anymore, but the dogwood tree is more. Because the dogwood tree is the kind of tree that they used to put people on the crucifix.
Oh,
good to know.
There you go.
That's inspiring.
Well, we're going to have a beautiful field in our honor one day. Unless we make it to 2029, then we'll just be badass robots.
How about a little bonsai tree so you can go in the house and stay indoors?
You could be in somebody's pocket.
That's an add-on. That's
See,
a little
I don't
add-on.
Think negative. Like that, the senator that was over in Sanford area, Longwood?
Yeah.
That tree was like older than Jesus, 3,000, but it gets burned down by a meth addict.
But it took forever for that to happen. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just saying.
Now, look, man, they're protected. You don't see people just destroying cemeteries left and right, right? It's a protected land. Yeah. It's an area they make money from. We'll have a beautiful field of awesome trees, and you guys will not be there. You'll be in little ashes. Jimmy will be, like, somewhere in Vegas. You'll be somewhere, like, Denmark and Puerto Rico, okay? And then we'll be awesome forests.
I hate thinking about this. This is the worst thing.
You really do.
I don't like it, yeah.
Why does it freak you out so
much? Because time's marching on, man. I'm getting really close to that time.
You think? How old do you think you'll be?
God, I'm hoping 100.
Are you really?
Really?
Yeah.
100? Have you seen a 100-year-old? I've seen
some 100s. You're fine. Still watch TV. Man.
You
know?
You ever seen a...
Still drink whiskey?
Yeah. 100-year-old big guy? You ever seen one of those?
I don't think I'll be a big guy when I'm that age, I don't think. Old people start losing weight for... They don't even know why. They're just losing weight.
Yeah, that's true.
I got that to look forward to.
and wearing sweaters in the summer.
Yeah,
that's right. True. Yeah, that's right. Now, motivational minute. I talked to a friend yesterday who was very apprehensive about talking to me about something because it's something people don't talk about, which is finance and bankruptcy. And she knew I'd claimed bankruptcy many, many years ago, and she's going through it. And man, is finance a weird thing to talk about? And I almost had to pry it out of her because I could hear her kind of feeling like the world was about to cave in on her, right? Because the phone calls. You know, anybody here who's been in debt knows those phone calls get to you. Then those letters. Then they send real legalese letters that look real tough, you know? And she was freaking out a little bit. And I said, look, you should be worried a little bit. You should get your stuff in order. But there are no debtors' prisons.
I know.
They are letters. Yes, they can take some property if you got a boat, if you got a four wheeler, if you got a trailer. Yes, they can take that stuff.
I ain't taking my 14 four wheeler.
Let me tell you a true story. This is, you know, when you're younger, you're a little more, what would you call? Well, naive is one word.
Irresponsible. Prideful.
More prideful, I guess. And then also, you look at things with rose colored glasses. And you know, so when those that don't remember, don't know the whole story or whatever, when I started, I had a party rental company, and I was doing the party rental company. I was paying for us to be on the radio, so I was doing both at the same time. I had my rental company, and I had the radio show, which we were just doing on the weekends or whatever, but, you know, we were just doing it then. And then I had this huge fire, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when I had this huge fire, I lost about $400,000 worth of equipment. I didn't have insurance for it. So people were telling me, hey, you should pay bankruptcy. And I'm like, nope. I'm a stand-up guy. I'm going to pay all these people off, and I'm not going to claim bankruptcy. Rusty should claim bankruptcy. Nope, I am not going to. These were vendors that I owe money to. I'm going to pay them off. And I took 10 years to pay all those people off and did not claim bankruptcy. And it was the stupidest thing I ever did.
Yeah,
like there was nobody at the end of the rainbow to pat you on the back and say, way to go.
Here's your gold star.
They were pissed off that I didn't pay them right away. You know, paid them late. there was no... There was no, hey, way to go. You did the right thing. None of that.
Yeah, but you did it for yourself, though, right? I mean, you said that to yourself.
I did, but I was not satisfied at the end.
Yeah, you wanted something. You wanted somebody to be like, so you're the best bankruptcy person we've ever seen.
I thought it was the right thing to do.
You wanted an attaboy.
And I thought it makes you a good guy.
And Russ, it does. That says something about you.
Yeah.
But with this particular person, and a lot of people listening, lot of people listening are in this situation. They got kids. They rack up the credit cards because they got to take them to football practice and soccer practice, and they got to do this and they got to do that. And the next thing you know, you're overwhelmed. What I'm saying is this. Don't lose it. Don't freak out. Don't lash out in anger. What you can do is begin to get a plan together. Begin to get that plan. And even just going, I have a plan, I may be in the hole. But getting that plan together will make you feel better and will make you move forward. So if this is you right now that I'm talking about, we've all been there. I'm lucky. I'm not in that position right now. I have been in that position straight up. But I realized that they're not going to come take me to jail if I didn't pay that Visa that had a $3,000 limit. Or, you know, but get your life in order. Get your financial life in order.
$3,000 limit.
You're
balling. Must be real.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
I
know a lot of people feel it. I know a lot of people don't like talking about it.
Jimmy scoffs.
No, Jimmy's been through a bunch of financial stuff. You know, I know he has.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you learn.
Yeah, and you learn. And that's the goal, is to try and learn about it.
A lot of people don't learn. They get into debt. And they get out of debt, and then they go right back into debt.
And then they don't talk to their partners about it. I've realized that. A lot of people don't talk. One person handles the finance, takes the brunt of the pressure, of the stress of dealing with it. The other one lives, usually does other stuff, you know, has a different role in the relationship. And then all of a sudden they meet together when the S has hit the fan, know. And then it's like, scurry, what are we going to do? Oh, my God,
what do you mean
this?
You have been paying the mortgage?
Exactly.
A lot of that is ego-based in males. No. A lot of times the guy's like, well, you know, I make the most. I take care of the finances. In my house, my wife was telling some friends up in Mississippi, I don't even know what I made last week.
Yeah.
I have no idea how much money I have in the bank right now.
Yeah.
All I know is this. My wife takes care of our finances, and my debit card works, and she's been very good at it. So you put the strongest person in charge of it, and it works out great. But you got to swallow some ego. A lot of guys aren't willing to do that.
I'm glad you said that. This particular person, and I'm shouting them out right now. I'm not saying their name or whatever, but they were saying, well, we can't sell the truck because, you know, the truck. And I said, sell everything that you have because if not, they're going to come take it. They will take that truck. They will take that boat. They will take that stuff. Put down the pride. Put down the ego. And move forward. I've had to swallow it a bunch of times in front of judges and family and friends and everybody. But no, truly, in the sense of that. And then once you get past that point, you're going to feel better. I really hope that connected with some people out there, because finances is something that we don't talk about as a society, and a lot of us have issues with it because for whatever reason they don't teach us that well in school. But I hope, like I said, that connects with some people out there. Let's do some birthdays real quick, because
whose birthday is it?
There is a beautiful woman's birthday today that just shared a photo, and I've never been in front of her physically, but I'm thinking she's as beautiful in real life, and that's Jennifer Lopez. She's 49 years old today.
How is she really? God almighty, she looks great for 49.
She posted a picture. Did you? I know you saw it, Angel. That post at the gym or whatever.
That's what I wanted, Jada.
Yeah. These are, and look, 49 right. is the new 39. And the older I get, you know, the more I appreciate, you know, women in general. But especially women who really try and keep themselves in shape as you get older, because just like for guys, it's hard to do that. It's hard to stay in shape. And it's way harder for women because they got a bunch of other stuff, you know, that us guys, you know, like to look at or whatever.
Wow, she looks good for 29.
She exactly. You know, that's the picture I'm talking about. Let me see. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. Good for her. And I hear she's very nice. Here she's very, very nice. Everybody who's worked with her. And then another birthday, infamous, sad to say, is he's 54.
54.
He has almost all, a bunch of records in his sport.
Wow, 54. Emmitt Smith.
No, he played baseball.
Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt.
No, but he was as big as this guy at the end.
Is it pitcher? Or nope, he got famous for hitting?
No, he got famous for hitting, yeah, for sure. But unfortunately, it takes some stuff. They had Canseco, but will be in that same world. And
Big Poppy? What's his name? Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds, yes. Barry Bonds. I met him at E3 years ago, and he is a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
A big guy.
Was he a douche to you, or is he cool?
He was very quick in passing. Yeah, he wasn't anything. He was actually there to take in the show. Yeah, he was just kind of walking around and looking at it all, but and then last but not least, today was the day they discovered Machu Picchu.
Oh yeah,
that is it. You know, a lot of people visit Machu Picchu in Peru.
What year they discovered?
Pulling it up right now.
It seems like everybody on my Instagram has been to Machu Picchu, but me.
I have been. I actually have a tattoo of Machu Picchu on my ribs.
Mm. By the way, there's a special about that whole empire. Right, the Incan Empire?
Yes.
That you should see it. At one point, it was the greatest empire on Earth. And by the way, that Machu Picchu area is tiny compared to what they're finding now in those jungles. Amazing, dude. It is all-encompassing. They've been studying that thing for 40 years now since they found it. And people have lived in those jungles for 10 years as scientists just studying that. That's the only thing they do.
1911 is when they discovered it. It's very recent. Yeah. And, yeah, they have stories of, like, people that have lived in those jungles. And they bring helicopters to come see them. And they don't even react to it as if they'd seen stuff like this before. Very, very interesting.
And the other things they were looking for, they said every civilization like this buried their royalty in a very elaborate manner, but they've never found any of what they knew to be their leaders, and that's what they were looking for. They're like, we find that, we'll find a whole different world, and they did find some of them.
No doubt, and it's Machu Picchu in Peru. Viva Peru! Viva Peru! To the top! Never stop.
All right, when we come back, Angel, bring you Monster Sports. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Talking on the radio, not your thing. You can do this. There's an easier way. It's called texting. 77031. Real Mobile. It's real easy. From Real Radio
104.1. Hey, remember, another chance to win those tickets for two to our incredible... this is really, really cool that they're going to do this. Universal Studios is going to have this. Let us give 100 tickets out to people to come see the Monster Fan Appreciation Show on August the 4th. And if you want to win those tickets, just go to our website at monsters.fm and see if your name is one of the names on the Daily 5. Tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, we'll do another trivia question, your chance to win. But to answer, a lot of people are saying, listen, I've got season passes to come to Universal. Can we just join you that day? Of course you can. We'd love to see you out there that day. If you can come get into Universal, then join us at 10 o'clock. We're going to do a big photo together. We're going to be live on the air on Real Radio 104.1. We get to play the music that we want to play that morning, which is awesome, and take over the radio station on a Saturday morning. Then we'll all go ride rides, go to lunch together at the Monster Cafe, go ride a bunch of more rides, maybe end up at that Irish pub. I say maybe. I can guarantee you I'll be at that Irish pub towards the end of the night. So join us for a big Monster Day, Monster Fan Appreciation Show, and that's on August the 4th. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Carlos, Ryan Holmes here with us. Ryan, you're doing trivia tonight?
I will be at Hammered Lamb from 6 till 8. So come hang out with me, and then this weekend I'll be at Sanford Bonkers.
That's a lot of fun, man. The trivia is a lot of fun. You do a great job at that.
Thank you.
Angel, now let's find out what's going on with Monster Sports.
Monster Sports brought to you by my guys over there at Harry Buffalo. Today's special. You've heard us rave on and on about it. $7 cheese pizzas.
Ooh.
Viva La Pizza, Tuesday special, $7 cheese pizzas. That's just one of the specials that they have going on over there at Harry Buffalo.
How would you even say that?
Yeah, man, that's messed up.
How would you even say that to us? 10 o'clock, we're all hungry.
Hungry. Yeah.
And there you go.
We work hard
and
here, Angel.
And it's good pizza, too.
My bad.
That barbecue chicken pizza, I'll take it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
It is good.
Go visit the guys over there at Harry Buffalo. You're going downtown for a concert, pre-party, whatnot, premier sports bar in downtown Orlando. So these are PSAs. This is me looking out for you guys, right?
All right, appreciate it.
So between now and next NFL season, not this season, but the next, if anyone comes up to you and says, hey, would you want to buy a Las Vegas Raiders baseball cap, jersey, know that it's a counterfeit.
Oh, why is it?
The NFL won't allow the Raiders to sell any Las Vegas Raiders gear until it leaves Oakland, which obviously leaves the door open for counterfeiters. So anything that you see from here until they actually debut in Las Vegas, it's considered counterfeit.
Wow, you just cost yourself a bunch of money, guys. That's amazing, isn't it? Whatever.
But the only thing I can think of is they're trying to be cool with Oakland is the reason why the NFL wouldn't do that.
Well, you know what's not cool to Oakland? Bailing.
Yeah.
That's what's not cool to Oakland. I don't think they give an F if you sell their T-shirts anymore.
Speaking of sporting goods and whatnot, if you work at Nike, 7,000 employees got a really cool little email this morning.
Really?
They all got a raise.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Following an internal review, Nike will raise the salaries of 7,000 employees. The company was told to change how bonuses are determined. Nike is making changes to address concerns about pay equality or equity. So, I wonder what that's like to get that kind of email.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Never seen that.
You know how I always try to tell you about the esports guys and what, you know, how they're doing and making money and everything.
Yeah,
this is a huge esports fail, I think. All right? And this is a new phenomenon. Are you guys familiar with Douglas Faze Sensor Martin?
Everybody knows him,
of course.
Is
that Ninja?
Yeah.
All right. No, it's not Ninja, but this guy is he's a struggling Call of Duty player. Douglas Faze Sensor Martin.
He's making his way through the ranks.
Somehow, this loser, he was winning until he... Well, you'll see where I'm going with this. Are you guys familiar with Yanet Garcia?
Of course.
Yanet Garcia as a former Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yes, I do remember the name.
She's an amazing, amazing weather girl.
Okay. Yes, the ass Mexican ass reporter.
She's a weather girl who happens to be very fit.
Gigantic ass and shows it off during her weather reports
in yourself a favor. Look up Yanet Garcia.
Okay.
So this guy, Douglas, basically had to go to his YouTube channel and announce that he had broken up with Yanet because it was taken away from his time dedicated to Call of Duty and Black Ops because he's a professional e-gamer.
So he was with her?
So he was with her.
Yeah, she's pretty good looking.
Yes.
Wow.
And then he broke up with her.
Because it was ruining his business.
Getting in on his e-gaming time.
I totally can relate to that. That's fine. I think that's a good move. You gotta focus. She's probably talking while he's playing his game.
No. She's working out. She's doing squats.
Did you happen to make a note of the silence there? Mr. Holmes.
I'm just trying to be on his side a little bit.
No one's on his side.
You don't need to be on his side.
Nobody. He's going to get destroyed from this point out. Do you imagine the level of trash talking that's going to happen to him now in the e-games? Take this, and I'm going to take your girl now, man.
I don't know. It's a missile classic to the phrase. Face. Doesn't matter how gorgeous she is. Someone's tired of dealing with it. I'm saying there's had to be more than that, than just a video game. Otherwise, you're an insane person.
Have you guys ever wondered or about your physical makeup and ever wondered, what's my hammock bone?
What is my hammock bone?
You guys want to take a guess? Not
as
Russ.
As in Kurt Hammett?
Not Kurt Hammett. Hamate. Your hammock bone.
That's whatever Russ is eating at a buffet.
Your hammock bone?
Your hammock bone.
Is that the wishbone of a pig?
It's not the wishbone of a pig. It's we have it. It's us. It's on our body.
Oh, I know exactly. It's in your hand.
It is your hand.
Yes, I am. Horrible news.
This is really tough one for Tim Tebow and Tim Tebow fans.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like last night, over the weekend, he broke his hammock bone, and he's going in for surgery.
Hey, they called it a freak accident, Angel. What exactly was it? I did not read the context of the story.
Like a wild swing of the bat, right?
That's what they're saying. Yeah, on Monday afternoon, ESPN's Adam Schechter reported that Tebow suffered a broken hammock bone in his right hand while swinging the bat this weekend and is scheduled to have surgery on Tuesday.
So hand surgery.
The injury will likely sidelight him for the rest of the season.
Oh,
that's too bad.
God will heal him faster.
Yeah.
He'll be back for the playoffs.
We were just hoping, I know the people that are fans of him were hoping that he would be able to make it up to the majors at least for a little bit, but that's not going to happen.
Not this year. It doesn't mean it won't happen. He is getting a little bit older, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is a huge hurdle, though, you know.
It is.
Not only do you have to sit out for recovery, but then you got to get yourself back into playing shape.
Absolutely. It does not help. That's for sure, buddy.
Okay, so Bleacher Report, a sports website, and they came out with their Power 50, a definitive list of the most influential people in sports culture, athletes, celebrities, and who are doing quote unquote the damn thing right now.
Angel, let me ask you this: is Bleacher Report the godfather when it comes to sports news now? Is it bigger than Sports Illustrated? Is it bigger than ESPN?
I view them as different entities. Where ESPN, I think, is still whole online, still holds their weight.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated, I would say, was the old school go to.
Yeah.
Because there's some really good writers that still work for Sports Illustrated.
But they do more personal stuff now. They're not like the stats and the trades and whatnot. Yeah. Really,
well, it all depends.
But Bleacher Report's big.
Well, it depends on how you consume it, right? Because the magazine does that, but Sports Illustrated Online try to mimic what the other guys are doing.
Because I get most of my info just from Bleacher Report. Yeah. Almost every sport.
Bleacher Report, I think, is what skews younger just because of the nature of the way that they do like things like this.
Yeah, right, okay.
All right, so they do, they came out with their Power 50, right? And it breaks down like this. I'm just going to give you the top five. And what they took into consideration was...
they had a lot of stuff popping yesterday. I knew they were releasing little segments of this...
Okay, so the power players is 39 influential writers, fellow fans, and is built to basically they took all these things into combination, whether the influence, their what they did in the sport, if they were groundbreakers, and so it's not necessarily just about money, game changers, things like that. They're trying to encompass all these things, right? So coming in at number five, according to Bleacher Report's top five, top 50. Power 50 in sports. Donovan Mitchell. Went from rookie to megastar in one season. Yeah. Is basically what they're saying.
And has just a gigantic ceiling, man. I love that dude.
Ali Rasmussen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's the gymnast.
Yep. So she comes in at number, which would be four.
Gold medal winning.
Number three, Cristiano Ronaldo comes in at number three on this list. Meek Mill comes in at number two.
Oh, come on.
The rapper who disrupted an unjust system with champions in his own, and basically how the Patriots kind of put their arms around this guy. And I mean, the owner, Kraft, and all that.
I don't understand. How does that. I'm misunderstanding this ranking.
Yeah,
it's
just not sports. They're taking celebrities and everything encompassing, right? And then Jimmy Garoppolo comes in at number one.
Why? Because who dates? Because he's about to take a franchise from winning two games a season and amidst controversy that the NFL hadn't seen in years into being a West Coast force. Watch. That guy is a monster.
And he said he was better than Tom Brady yesterday.
Yep. And then to give you a perfect idea, so that's what Bleacher Report did, right? That's how they came up with their Power 50. This is what ESPN came out with, and this is what they're... So to give you an idea how they're different, right? So ESPN's lead is 2018 NFL QB tiers, only four hit tier one status. So they're basically breaking down the quarterbacks. You know, so it's different views where Bleacher Report takes into pop culture and that kind of thing. So that's probably one of the ways that you would see that they're different. And that's Monster Sports.
All right. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, thanks for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. Hey, with Monster Sports yesterday, did you guys talk about Tiger Woods? Because there's a story out.
Oh, I grabbed it.
Yeah.
The ratings?
No, not the ratings. There's a story, I guess, when Tiger Woods was about to take a swing, and I wanted to ask Jimmy, because obviously he plays a lot of golf. He's about to take a swing. It says a classless fan yelled out something while he was taking a backswing,
yeah,
it says.
On number 18, actually, and a really important hole to him.
And it's the British Open, which British are very proper, usually.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And
yeah, and it did happen. I mean, I was watching the replay. I actually watched it live when it happened. I mean, when you see a swing kind of collapse, and he actually looks up into the stands and basically says, man, what are you doing?
Well, now what happened? So he goes to swing,
Just before impact or in the transition, right before his downswing, when you're really kind of concentrating the most, somebody just yells out, go Tiger! It doesn't really matter what they yelled. It was just, you know, one of those things where, you know, you know, seemingly your focus kind of gets a little twisted.
I don't understand that, because when you're watching NBA players try to make a free throw, it is, you know, you're screaming, you're hollering, you're making noise, you're doing everything. And a free throw, I would think it takes as much concentration, if not more, than a swing.
Not even close.
It takes
It's not even close. The idea of shooting a free throw with a guy in your face is not even an nth of the difficulty it is to hit a golf ball.
Really?
In that scenario, with all of that on the line, major championship on that golf course, with all that wind blowing, Russ, hitting a golf ball straight is one of the hardest things to do in all of sport.
But the concentration it takes to make a free throw, I would think, would be just as...
It's a joke. I could put anybody up there and make a free throw.
Plus, they're used to making free throws in an arena where it's loud all the time. They've always done that. And on a golf course, you're not supposed to have that
at all.
It's
exact opposite, actually. It's the environment. It'd be like this. Could you imagine somebody yelling out during Wimbledon as one of those guys is throwing up their ball and about to try to hit the serve, and somebody just yells out, you know, go Djokovic. You know, I mean, it's not conducive to the environment. And my wife didn't agree. My wife actually tweeted out, "Stop being a baby about it. You should be able to do whatever." And there are players out there on tour that played municipal golf courses that will tell you, "You can do whatever you want. I don't care. I'm going to hit it the same way every time." Mm. But then there are guys that don't like it like that. So, you know, they kind of get one environment for everyone.
Do you have the audio? Okay, this is it.
What are you doing?
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Was that him saying that?
Yeah, he goes, "What are you doing? Yeah, play it again.
Do it again."
He yelled, "Free Palestine."
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he wound up in the fairway and wound up having a shot to the green. It really didn't hurt him. It didn't, you know, it wasn't really anything that hurt him. I mean, he basically hit a shot that wound up being a good shot.
How did he do in the trying?
Yeah, he wound up tied for sixth. But he did very, very well.
Some
but,
really cool things that came out of this, right? So it's the highest for NBC. The highest-rated British Open in 18 years.
Wow, because Tiger's back? Because
he's playing on Sunday. Another cool thing happened afterwards. Did you guys see his interaction with his kids?
Yeah. And his girlfriend.
Well, no, but...
They didn't say that was his girlfriend.
No. But in particular with his kids. The last time he won a championship, all right, one of these golf tournaments, his oldest son was 1 year old.
Oh, wow.
His second youngest wasn't even born yet. So in their lifetime, all they've known is their dad struggling on the golf course.
Right.
They've never seen him at the epic heights of success that he was at.
It's like, kids, really, one time I was the man.
You know what I mean? So, for him to finish this way, well, if you go back and watch the interaction, and particularly with his kids, it carries a little extra weight there because, look, your old man still got it a little bit. You know what I mean?
It was kind of funny, too, because his girlfriend there, everybody in the business has known that he's been dating this girl, I think, for 6-8 months, maybe even a little bit longer. I believe they met because she ran his restaurant in South Florida, and she was the GM, and they met that way and then became a couple. But she was there as well, walked up, gave him a kiss on the cheek, I think it was, and none of the announcers mentioned girlfriend. None of them said significant other, no nothing. They just said the Tiger's crew. his children and his crew. And they're his not like crew. Getting into that again.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's a he's a walking business, Russ. The guy had 60,000 people following him. And think about that. That's three NBA games.
Damn.
So in the arena following one guy hitting a golf ball. Just to give you a scope. That's pretty much a full Camping World Stadium. Yeah. So walking around following that guy.
If you're at a match like that and you yell out like that guy did it, does he get escorted out?
They bounce that guy in immediately. Yeah. And I will tell you, his old caddy, Steve, that guy that kind of turned on him a little bit, that big Australian dude, would have stomped him. I mean, that guy wasn't even cool. That guy walked over and grabbed a guy's $5,000 camera, looked him in his eye, and threw it in a pond once because he clicked it in Tiger's backswing.
Yeah.
And didn't even think twice about it. Wasn't even an afterthought. I mean, that's how the guy makes a living.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's his
thing.
And
there are a lot of people, you know, betting on him, and a lot of money involved.
And not to mention, you know, you said it perfectly at front, and I think there was a couple of reports where people from England were tweeting out saying, "Hey, that's not us."
Right.
You know, please, you know, if anybody appreciates the sport of golf more than, I mean, England is that thing. That's why the Ryder Cup is my favorite tournament, or my favorite tournaments of all. And it's come up later this year. It's the best. It's basically Europe versus the U.S.
And will Tiger Woods be involved with that?
Well, that was actually part of the discussion this morning. I believe Jim Furyk is the captain, and he was saying he's still, even though Tiger had a great performance, not sure he'll be part of the team. He's a co-captain, and he'll be there in spirit, and he'll be there with the team.
Yeah.
But as far as playing, I mean, you want the best guys out there. I mean, one tournament's still just one tournament, you know?
Yeah, and he's still, I mean, what, sixth? That's his best
That's still very good.
In a long time.
I mean, coming back 42 years old. Sure. Yeah, I mean, he's still very good, but there's so many great players out right now.
Huh.
I mean, the tour is honestly, it gets a bad name because Tiger's not playing competitively, but there's so many really good players out there right now. It's still a lot of fun to watch. Guys hitting quality shots, they're just not hitting 6-iron from bunkers at 225 over water,
yeah,
which is what Tiger did.
Yeah.
You know, just amazing stuff.
All right, 407-916-1041. You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning. Hey, welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Tomorrow on the Monsters of the Morning, you have an opportunity to win tickets for two to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show, which will be at Universal Studios Orlando at 7 o'clock. We'll do the Triple R segment at 7, and then, of course, at 9 o'clock, you can go to our website, monsters.fm, and see if your name is one of the Daily Five, and if it is, you'll be joining us on August the 4th at Universal Studios for the Monsters of the Morning Fan Appreciation Show. What else is tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday, right? Yeah,
tomorrow is your day off.
I have a day off. Yeah, it's weird. So to me, I feel like it's gonna be Tuesday, but it's not, which is cool.
It is not.
You know what they've discovered is a way to get productivity out of some people.
Give them a deadline.
Cattle prod.
Cattle prod. That's kind of the answer. A little bit.
Mm.
There are a lot of people. And I didn't say the percentage. It says a lot. It's a new study out of Canada. So I don't know what a lot is. The best way to get them to be productive is to put them in a bad mood. It says being in a bad mood is good. Good for productivity for some people. Because when they're in a bad mood,
when
they're pissed and in a bad mood, it helps them be more focused, manage their time better, and prioritize better.
This is from Canada, nicest people around?
Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like a...
Yeah, in Canada, getting pissed means you say dang.
Exactly.
That dang thing. Oh, boy, calm down.
Maybe productivity. I don't know overall, like, financially if that would work, because you'd want to leave the company if they're constantly making you mad.
Yeah. It says here that there's one catch. You know, if you're the kind of person who's able to turn around and a bad mood and quickly into, you know, feeling happy again.
That's most people, of course.
Then, yeah, you won't
or
be
nobody.
More. You won't be more productive, is what it's saying. But this is by Science Alert, which is out of Canada. Yeah.
Hey, I had a scam. I think almost pulled on me.
Ooh, what scam?
Yeah, I was going to tell you. So I got Friday. I was on the phone, and I get a call from a number from South Florida. A number I hadn't seen. I don't tend to pick up numbers I don't know.
Yeah, never.
But this one called, and then called back immediately. And I was like, what the hell? Let's check it. So I pick it up, and the guy goes, "Hello, is this Carlos?" And I was like, yeah, what's going on? He's like, "Oh man, I'm so sorry to tell you, but Alejandro Navarro just died, and I'm calling to tell you." And I was like,
"Who?"
So I was like, "You don't know him?" I was like, "Nope, never heard of him." He goes, oh, okay, all right, thank you." And hangs up.
Ah.
So that's never happened before, but I could only imagine the scam is this. You look in the newspaper, you match up last names.
Yeah.
You call every random ass Navarro in the phone book till you find one that is just a nice, gullible person and says, "And we can't bury him. We can't, you know, we can't bury him right now unless we get $1,500.
We need money for, yeah.
You know, but has that happened to you guys? I know scams happen, but no. Now my phone's a scam likely, which I love. Yeah. Didn't get that one.
You remember Jimmy's the incident?
I remember Jimmy's clearly. That's what made me think of it.
What was Jimmy's?
When they said that my son was being held captive and they had a gun to his head.
Yeah.
And if I didn't pay the money, they were going to
do the gun thing.
Spanish prisoner.
Yeah. They, of course, it caused my wife great trauma.
Sure.
I didn't really, obviously, the chances of that happening are so absolutely minuscule.
Because you yelled, you weren't going to give up the money.
Yeah, I yelled at him, squeezed, pulled the trigger. He'd tell me to do the same thing. But yeah, man, it was it was really bad. But you know what? You know, immediately we called him on the other line. My wife was on the phone with the person trying to scam, and I called my son on the other line because we were actually buying the RV.
Right.
When it happened, we were in the showroom, and I called the line. I said, "Bub, what's up?" And he goes, "Dad, I'm trying to work out. What's going on?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "So you haven't been in a crash?" No. I'll talk to you in a little bit. And then I just went over to my wife. I said, hand me the phone.
Yeah.
And then I put on a cursing clinic.
Yeah.
And a lot of people learned a lot about the English language that day.
Well, I was a little worried about me saying yes, like when you say I'm Carlos Navarro, because then you've heard those scams where it's like, just even saying yes.
Right. And then they take your voice and say
yeah. But then I looked that up and I found out that was bullcrap.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
A scam. Now, I don't know if you've seen this here in Orlando or whatever, but when I was up in Birmingham, they had an alert on TV, and it was like, be aware of this scam. Right. Once again, I don't know if it's here or not, but it's basically where you take a water bottle, and you put the water bottle, this is what they've been doing, take the water bottle, put it in between the tire and the front of the car, right?
Okay.
And they sit and they kind of wait. And so you'll say you come out and you start to back your car up. Well, it makes a weird sound. People will stop. They said thousands of people have been caught with this. People will stop, open their car door, walk around to go see what it is. And when the car door is open, people just jump in the car and steal
Ooh.
It. So it's
that's the old banana in the tailpipe.
It's called a water bottle scam. It was going around in Alabama. I don't know if it's hit here or not. But all it is just an empty water bottle. They put it there, and once the car starts moving, it makes horrible sounds. Yeah. So it sounds like it's something bad, but it really isn't. And they just jump in your car and run.
Wow.
Nah, it won't happen here in Florida. We litter like crazy.
Yeah.
Man, we run. We're used to that sound.
Well, and we don't leave the car door open because of the heat. We don't want the AC to. But no, they say that thousands of people have been hit with that particular scam.
Man, I hate scammers. And my phone has become basically useless now at this point, unless your number is in my phone.
Yeah.
I probably get 15 to 25 scam likelies or versions that's close to my phone number calling me all the time.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that before.
It's called like neighbor dialing or something.
Right, yeah.
So they get like the first three digits that are the same as yours, and it'll get them. And being a comic, I'm always getting phone calls and for gigs and stuff, but now I literally can't answer my phone.
Let it all go to voicemail.
You know,
that's what I do. If you don't leave a voicemail, I don't know you.
I saw a story this week, and they said a lot of people, younger, you know, millennials, are going back to flip phones. Because they're too consumed with social media. They're sick of seeing it all. So flip phones are now actually a bigger deal, and some other companies are making newer flip phones that only have the ability to text and call, and that's it.
I think that's good because I'll be having a great day. Like, a great day. I'm feeling good about myself, and then I see somebody in Machu Picchu, and I'm like, my life is terrible.
Right,
I'm doing
right.
Nothing right.
In comparison, yeah, there will be the straight edge on technology for a lot of younger people because they're growing up, and they're 7, 8, 9, not about to get in social media, and they're seeing people's lives ruined. Their family, their friends, celebrities, politicians, everybody with the wrong kind of tweet out there. And so I don't blame them.
I'm definitely straight up addicted to social media. I wake up in the morning, as soon as my alarm goes off, I swipe it, I pull up Facebook, pull up Instagram, and then I look at it every about 20, 25 minutes.
Well, it's kind of become a drug.
Yeah.
There's no kind of it.
Yeah, I mean, they know exactly how to hit those little sensors to get you looking.
But what are you using it for? Are you using it to actually keep in touch with those people, or to get news, or to find things to talk about so you have content?
All of the things, like you know, you're in media and entertainment. You gotta constantly know what's going on at that moment. You gotta know what the trends are. And then you gotta post stuff to keep yourself relevant.
Right.
Which is and then if you don't get enough likes or the little notification only says 5, you're like, I'm doing things wrong.
And I tell you, it's crazy the things that get clicks and that don't. I posted some stuff when I went to Birmingham, and of everything I posted, the thing that got the most reaction was that stupid picture of that can of Charlie Chips.
Yeah.
I put that. Hey, do you know what goes in this can? Yeah. I must have had 700 people, you know.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, I was just talking to my wife the other day about it, because when we did the show last Friday, we did a segment on, you know, social media, and I told her, I said, should we be talking about social media as a show? Because really, I think that for us, it's a big deal, but I think for the most of the, you know, most of the people, you know, you have your followers and things like that, but, you know, I don't have that many. I have 13,000, almost 14,000 people on Facebook, but yet I'll put up a post, it'll get 40 likes. or, you know, a couple comments or whatever. So really, what percentage of those people are actually engaged with what I'm doing or what I'm saying? And I thought to myself, I was like, look, I have to cut out or cut back a lot on how much I talk about social media on the show, because I don't know that it really applies to most of our audience. Well, I really don't think it does.
Think about it. Most of the people you know have social media. I mean, like, everybody I know has.
Having it, Russ, is different than picking up your phone first thing in the morning and swiping to find out what's everybody doing.
Well, just because they're not addicted to it doesn't mean that, but most people I know.
It seems to permeate every conversation. I know what you're saying, Jimmy. I've thought about that before.
Like, I wonder if it's valid content.
We are way more connected to it because of our industry. But then you look at every other industry, and each one of those, doesn't matter what you're in, they're having conversations of how you incorporate social media into your workplace.
Yeah.
A lot of places, at least.
Yes, Angel.
Going off of when we were talking about the scams just moments ago.
Scamming,
Yeah, so the Federal Trade Commission has a pretty cool website, and if you go there, consumerftc.gov, and it gives you the most recent scam alerts.
Ooh, okay. What's
all right, so the most recent ones, and this one's been happening here in the state of Florida a lot. The credit card processing deals.
Yes.
Or the credit card get your rate. That's happening incessantly.
I get those because maybe my old photography business, I think they connect.
They call you up and they're like, hey, you only have a few days left. This is going to be the last call.
Oh, they're very convincing with a sweet girl voice.
They want to give you the new rate or whatever. And I've gone through to the point where I got into somebody. I was like, what's my account number? And they're like, no, we need that from you. I was like, you called me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did they ask for your account number?
Yeah, I was like, so before they get a chance to ask me, I'm like, give me my account number. I'm like, no, that's what we're calling you. I was like, but that's not how this works. You know?
We do that text bank segment with Code Black on the show on Fridays, right?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, most of the time we talk to him, it's about how you're trying to get scammed and how to avoid it. We talked last week about people figuring out, you ready for this, Russ?
Mm-hmm.
This was what we did. They have figured out that they can actually unlock your car by walking to your front door with an amplifier that picks up the signal from your key fob.
Mm. Here's the tone.
And here's the tone, and then sends it to somebody standing next to your car that's got another receiver and popping the locks of your car.
Did you see the guys from the UK doing that?
Using the key fob, and he's telling you basically wrap it in tinfoil, because a lot of people, when they walk in their house, they'll have a little hook, and they'll put their keys on their hook so they always know where they are. You stand next to the door, the fob is always emitting the signal.
Mm.
Yeah, nice cars, because when you walk up to the car, it'll just automatically sense you're there
and open
the doors for you. Then once they have the door to your car open, they have access not only to the stuff in the car, now your garage door opener and everything in your garage and possibly in your house.
Hmm.
And the other one is email is the big deal right now because of ransomware. Because what'll happen is this, how many email warnings do we get in this building a month?
A bunch.
Like two a month. Because here's what happens. You'll get with companies that don't hire somebody to come in and teach their employees what to avoid.
Right.
And their system can only filter out so much. All you need is one intern, one somebody that's not familiar with the email system to hit enter or click on an email. It automatically encrypts all the information on the server.
Ooh.
Then you get an email. Hi, I think we've met. I have all your information. If you would like it back, I will give you the encryption code for 15 grand.
Bitcoin.
20 grand, whatever the case may be. Mm. Bitcoin, whatever it is. And you got to remember, those payments are made because we almost got scammed out of our mortgage. Remember that?
Yeah,
we're buying our new place,
man.
50 grand. And that office just got hit for 100 grand the week before.
Oh, man.
They're standing outside with a pineapple. They're pulling their information. They're making mass emails with one letter transposed.
Pineapple.
It's kind of like,
it's a fruit.
It's a really router.
Delicious.
It's like a router that picks up the signal. So what they do is they steal your email. They'll find out.
Juicy.
Let's say it's Carlos Navarro.
Yeah.
Instead of 2 hours, they use one.
Right. And just
then it looks like your email. Then they go, hey, we need the password for the account to download the money.
I remember that. That
boom.
Story was insane.
$55,000 almost gone. Ooh. And here's the thing. They wait by the account. The instant the funds hit, they cash it.
Here's
no way to get them.
Here's another they're saying this is a scam that's happening now to be aware of. But it's with Uber, and it's called the vomit fraud.
Oh, okay. Because I'm getting
vomit fraud. Basically, where they see you're drunk or whatever, and they realize, okay, this guy's too drunk to fight this, so they give him the charge. They give him the charge, $150 for vomit or whatever, and then when they say I wasn't sick, they just have a picture of their seat with vomit on it and submit it to the company, and you can't fight it. So look out for that. What?
Oh man, to get those guys on the phone. Okay, this happened to me.
This happened to you.
This happened to me.
The vomit fraud.
I was just out on night downtown drinking, having a good time. Get an Uber like a responsible person.
Yeah.
I'm a little toasted,
mm-hmm.
And so I go home and end up driving. I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to go to Crystal's right now because they'll take you to fast food.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So I go to Crystal's, ask the driver. I'm like, you want anything? Buy this dude Crystal's.
Uh huh.
Go back home, everything's fine. Wake up in the morning.
get a message, and it says, I spent $229 on an Uber ride. 10-minute Uber ride. Plus
they charge you for the vomit.
$229, and then I call, and they said, you vomited in the car. And I just 100% did not vomit in the car.
But he has a picture of vomit, so he can...
And he had a picture of vomit, and that's what he sent. So to get them on the phone, to talk to them, to get them to undo this charge...
Yeah, it's a big problem right now.
Forever. And then it turned out that this guy had done this before. Wow. And they're like, we're going to let this guy go, and he's not going to work for Uber anymore. But oh my God, yeah.
How hard was it to get hold of somebody?
It took 4 days of just calling and calling, and then it took a week and a half to get the charge back.
Wow. I keep getting pinged from Uber saying somebody's trying to crack into my Uber, like over and over, like 2 or 3 times a day.
I don't know what to do.
Here's a fun fact. If you want, listeners, you should definitely do this. There's a website. It's called Have I Been Pwned? So, and Pwned is spelled P-W-N. And what it is, it lists every major hack like that's ever been done, and they have like the list of all the emails. You can type in emails that you have in there, and it'll tell you if your email is part of these dark web lists.
Wow.
And you'd be surprised.
Have I been, how do you say it again?
Have I Been Pwned, and it's P-W-N.
I'm glad you explained that, because, you know, pwn could be...
Yeah.
I've been pwned for a long time.
But they'll get your... You'd be surprised the amount of places your emails is leaked.
A couple
from.
Of the other scams that are on this list, and I wanted to grab this because this is exactly what happened to Carlos. And the number one, it came out July the 3rd of 2018, scammers create fake emergencies to get your money.
Yeah.
Getting a vacation rental, watch out for scams, avoiding World Cup scams, no prizes from the FTC, and then I guess there's a real run on scams that are going after small businesses.
You know, and we just got a text from our friend Holly over at the BBB, and she says if you go to the website, you can actually isolate the neighborhood that you're around, and it'll tell you what scams are currently being shot or tried in your area.
Where can you find that?
At BBB.org.
The Better Business Bureau, yeah. Huh.
Yeah, you got to keep your ears and eyes open, man.
Yeah. I mean, the way to fight this is to with the technology you have available to you. So get that neighbor's app. Join the Facebook groups of your neighborhood. You'll find this stuff. Yeah.
When's the hack gonna happen where it gives you a better credit score? When is that hack gonna happen?
Yeah.
When is the hack gonna happen that my FICO score goes through the roof?
Yeah, we broke into your account and gave you a 750.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's the Fight Club app.
Yeah, that one hasn't happened yet. When's that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody stole my credit, and they lived a way better life than I did. So,
did you say they stole your credit?
I'm getting a bogus call right now.
But you know, if you get
pick it up.
They hung up already. From Clearwater.
I'm getting a lot of them from Clearwater.
Yeah, I don't know nobody in Clearwater. You know what? It's probably because our phones are so close to each other. Can they do that? They're calling Jimmy, but they know my phone number.
No, you're in tinfoil hat territory
come
now.
Come on, whatever. Damn robots.
Yeah, but I mean, they're just auto dialing and they're using Google voice numbers. You know,
I do almost everything with American Express, and when I had some issues with some stuff that was stolen, it was used when supposed to, you just call American Express and then, I mean, just, you know.
Yeah, take care of it.
You, hoity-toity.
Mr. Seinfeld.
I'm just saying.
Mr. Platinum Black Card.
The biggest tip I can give anybody, and I learned this the hard way, is if you're paying for gas and you're using a debit card, do it as credit and enter your zip code, because your bank will pay back it that way. But if you use your debit card and put in your PIN number, you won't get your money back.
Oh.
Yep. Always use credit.
I heard something. I thought they return both. I thought, but maybe the FDCC is only through... No, that's your bank. Well, no, whatever. FDIC, I'm going to do credit. FDIC, there you go.
Hey, so the Monster Back to School Skate Party is coming up on August the 10th. This is a really, really cool thing, man. It's something that we don't usually do things where all the family can be invited, all the family can participate. But this is a skate party for young and old. It'll be a lot of fun. And it's on August the 10th at Astro Skate. Of course, I'm going to be there. Carlos is going to be hosting it. You got Angel Boom will be doing his thing. Savannah's going to do Snake Skate.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan Holmes bringing his cotton candy machine.
Candy machine. I don't care if you skate all the time or if you haven't skated in years. This is the perfect event to come out with you, your kids, your loved ones, and have a good time and bring some school supplies, man. If your kids are all grown, remember that time when you had to go back to school and pick up all that stuff from them and break it off a little bit for people that need it.
Yeah, it's donation. For a gift for teaching. It's a gift for teaching, and that's going to be once again on August the 10th. It's a Friday night. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we've got the best villain actor of all time. You can do it right now on our website at monsters.fm. When you participate, you're eligible to win a $100 Fandango gift card. and Daily 5 tomorrow, your chance to win tickets for two to Universal Studios Florida for our big Monster Fan Appreciation Show. You'll be able to do that on the website at monsters.fm. Tonight, Ryan?
Tonight, I'll be at Hammered Lamb from 6 to 8, so come hang out with me. Every time train goes by there, you get a free shot.
Dirty Jim, tonight's Tuesday, so are you cooking?
Yeah, yeah, we're doing How Tuesday tonight at 7 o'clock, Primetime Kitchen's Facebook page, and we're teaching you how to make great sauces tonight, Russ. We're going to do two or three sauces to make
important.
Your food. Yeah, hollandaise, we're going to do some cream sauces and some wine pan sauces. It's easy and fun and make all your dishes great.
Angel, it was Tat Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Go to monsters.fm, hit up on my blog, and check out the tats.
Carlos?
Yeah, check me out at Walker Stalker, August 11th and 12th. I'll be there. It's right here at the convention center. It's going to be huge. And then I'm also going to be at the Cocoa Beach Comic Con, and that'll be September 8th and 9th, and some other stuff in the works.
All right, stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters at 3 o'clock. It's the one and only Jim Phillips from the Phillips File. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Last with Monster Comics. We're back tomorrow to do our thing. From Dirty Jim, Ryan Holmes, Angel, and Carlos.
And the leader of this mess, Mary Man, Russ, middle-aged money, Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Swirl.
Whoever it is, we're 34 in the middle lane by 4. You. Whoa. Real Radio 104.1.